This is PFW in Progress.
Hello, I'm Robert Goulet. Da-da-dee-da-da-da-doo.
PFW in Progress.
What you get is one full hour of rip-roaring.
Fred Kirsch.
Not some dubious ruffians without the chops, but by a professionally trained voice man.
I don't think Ben Watson is a cheap tipper. I think your girlfriend probably gave
Paul Perillo.
I don't care if he is Mr. Notorious Big. Can he croon?
Let's groove tonight. See, I can sing it because Gary's not in there.
You get the idea. It's Snoopy, Dre, Biggie, Huffman.
And Andy. And Andy?
Coolio. The whole bunch. Watch what I do with this little ditty from Mr. Cisco called the Thong Song. Are they going to sing it again? Shebang, shebop, bop, thong song.
Andy Hart.
You wouldn't hire a clown to fix a leak in the john. Yeah.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
You don't even blink, do you? Quick staring contest, me and you, now. You win, you always do.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Anyway, check out the CD. You'll just love it. Or my name isn't...
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. And everyone's here except for Tom. Tom's still recovering. Probably we'll get an email at some point during the show from him. But Andy's here. Eric's here. Paul's here. Fred's here. Two genders here. Gary's out, still curled up in a fetal position with a bottle of vodka, awaiting Saturday's event, which is his wedding.
Did you hit a wind tunnel on the way down, Freddie? What happened to your hair?
Am I all messed up?
Yeah.
More so than usual.
Like almost permed, or the big wave goes back.
Actually, it looks more calm than usual.
But Gary's event happens on Saturday. He's getting married. He waited till he was 50, but better late than never. And, Eric, why didn't you get invited?
Gary doesn't like me.
Did you feel bad about that?
No.
You don't?
No.
You'd rather not? You're going to get him anything anyway?
No.
Now, why would he get him?
I sure as hell wouldn't do
invited.
That.
Well,
you freaking
think,
kidding me?
It's not like he was invited and can't make it.
But
so
I think when Gary sent out the invitations a while ago, he didn't really know you back then.
That's probably accurate.
That's accurate.
But I still wouldn't.
I'd stick with the former.
I still wouldn't give him a gift, though.
They're probably both accurate.
If you weren't invited, you weren't invited.
I guess not.
But the best part is that Lori's not invited. And she is, unlike Eric, who I can believe probably really wouldn't care, Lori cares.
Now, she not only cares. She
cares
she's
more
not
after
even,
what was...
She wasn't even the highest on the list among former Patriots cheerleaders.
To be invited to.
To be
right.
invited.
Wow.
Think
There's
about
actually
it.
One of those coming.
Who else is
There's
going
a former Patriot
us?
Cheerleader going, and it's not
going?
Her. I don't know. Anybody?
No.
People from marketing, but I mean.
Yeah, I mean, other people that he works with.
Chris Ferreira going?
You know, no. Sure, Minnie Gary's going, right? No? You're out?
Oh.
You're out, Tom?
Wow.
You're out, Tom? You were B-listed?
You didn't make the top 350 either? Jesus.
Wow.
That's going to leave a mark.
And there's a developing situation apparently at our table.
You want to go on my
list? Is Dvorkin going?
Yeah, and he might be at our table. Tom was going and isn't going.
Tom
so that opened up a slot at the table, and they're reworked. So we might have some who knows who at our table.
The doctor.
Right.
I hear they were thinking of seating Lou next to you.
Like Mariani and those guys, I bet you they're all there.
But seriously,
I'm sure.
How much time do you expect to spend at your table, other than for dinner? Are you going to be out
milling
about,
wedding with
dancing?
With Paul and Andy?
Just so you know, however long I'm at the wedding.
Paul
move.
And Andy alternate getting Miller Lights from the bar for each other, and we sit at the and we sit at the
you
table.
And I'm driving home, so
what
there won't be that many trips to the bar.
Wait, get on the dance floor?
No.
Take your bride out there?
No.
When I was single? Absolutely. No need to do that anymore.
Deidre has a one song per wedding limit. Pick the song, I'll be out there with you, and that's it.
She doesn't like to dance either?
Yeah, she does. And she's allowed to. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, with you mean a one song limit?
Yes. I will go out there for one song. Slow song.
So it's your limit to her, not her limit on you.
Well,
see, here's where
if Andy gets out there, I'm going to yell, look at it, it's a human bobblehead.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a very good point. But Gary, here's where Gary's taste in music will actually work in my benefit because it'll be all songs that I like. Because they'll all be like
from
20,
the 70s.
They'll all be 25
earlier.
Years old.
Like I Kissed a Girl.
Yeah, I like that song.
I don't think that one will be played.
Yeah, no, he probably won't.
Although with his girlfriend there, she could play it. Or one of her friends.
And so I'll be out there probably for like one short set.
Mm-hmm. When the disco, disco stuff comes on?
One run.
When the disco,
well,
you
absolutely.
Know, YMCA.
Do you think there'll be a flyover?
Like Tom's wedding. Tom had excellent
it could
music.
Be with Gary.
Right.
Tom's wedding had excellent music, and I was out there for a little while, and it was really hot too, so. That's how good the music was. I got out there.
Yeah, Paul got out there.
Fred was out. Fred's a dancing machine.
Yeah.
You are. You were out there with Nikki the whole time.
Just helping out Tom.
Doing anything you can to help the ball club?
That's it. No, I'm going to be low-key this wedding. I'm not going to go crazy.
You know, are you staying over?
Single, you go over and you mix
staying
in with the
over
bridesmaids.
Newton?
Of course.
Well, it's in Quincy, I believe, but
it's like 20 minutes away. I'm big, just asking.
Big church or something? Where are they having it?
I don't know.
It's in Boston, isn't it?
I thought the church was in Newton.
Oh, maybe it is.
I think the church is in Newton and the reception is in Quincy, if I'm not mistaken.
The reception's definitely in Quincy.
There's a pretty big gap between the two.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that either. Oh.
Oh, think I could do that? Time gap?
Yes. There's a big
I wonder if
Deidre
will allow that. I think that would be something.
Easy.
What? He's going to know.
No, he won't.
When I tell him.
What happened
there? There's 331 people there.
Your wife's allowing that?
Easy.
In the middle of it, I'm going to go, Paul?
I don't know why you give me the easy. Everybody knows what we're talking about. Your wife is allowing that? That seems like something that she would not allow.
It absolutely is something that she's not in favor of, but in this case, she agrees.
Maybe I'll do that.
What the hell am I missing here?
The wedding is at 2, and
skipping
the reception's
at like
6:30.
Oh, the early part?
You can't get a babysitter for like the entire day.
Oh, that's a good excuse.
A lot of people don't go to the first part of those things anymore.
Well, yeah, I know. That's what I'll be among those lot of people.
I think it's kind of rude, but I might take advantage of it in this situation.
It absolutely is rude, but I'm sorry. It can't be helped in this case. I don't have anybody to watch my kids.
That's what I'll go with, too.
Kid.
Yeah, the kid is a great excuse.
I'm going to just say I had to mow the lawn.
Fred will just say there was a lacrosse game I wanted to watch.
All right,
I had a clinic I needed to go to.
That's coming up on Saturday, and I'm sure that we'll have all the details on Tuesday. Maybe we can get some photos up on pfwprogress.com.
We should bring a camera, maybe some audio.
Yeah.
See if he cries during
Andy
the
doesn't
nuptials.
Get to write any captions on any pictures from me at the wedding.
Hey, Baldy, put a hat on it.
Wow.
Hey, Baldy, how about some sunscreen?
All right, well, what football things do we have
plenty.
To talk about
moves
today?
Galore. I mean, the roster has just been a fluid situation over the last couple of days.
Let's start off with some football talk.
Scott Player.
Gone. Yosemite Sam, no longer with us.
So we're down to one.
That single bar face mask.
My feeling is that tomorrow they're going to bring back Dragosevic.
I don't think so.
No?
Why, that's why? Not a bad idea, Fred.
I have a feeling that they got rid of him to make a point to him. Don't feel so comfortable here.
These are great. These are just great theories that he comes out with.
I got a feeling they got rid of him because he was shanking the ball left and right in minicamp.
Well,
passing camp.
He went to that Larry Izzo thing.
Oh, now charity is frowned upon around here.
Ricky should not be doing that.
Dragosevic went to the Izzo thing?
Yeah.
Rookies should not be trying to raise money for charities.
That's terrible.
Particularly worthwhile ones such as supporting the troops.
But in his defense, he did have the...
That's what he does.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. You could finish. Okay. Yeah, I'm exactly on board with you.
Yeah, you know, Dragosevic's history of doing...
Right.
Silliness. He's a showman.
He's a showman.
You
right.
know what? That's all done here. You have to earn the right to be a front and center on this team.
You have to earn the right to contribute at charitable events.
I think they might bring him back.
Now, is it this is?
I'm not going to say they're not going to. I'm just going to tell you that's not the reason he was cut.
If for no other reason than to have competition for Hansen,
well,
an extra leg in camp.
So yeah, don't you need two punters?
Well, now they're just down to flat out specialists.
No.
Are you're locked in?
Yeah,
you don't need them.
I think. Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm going to go with the early front runner for most overrated 2008 NFL storyline is this. 80-man hard limit is, like, really affecting rosters around the league and training camps. And some teams are saying they're not going to have back-to-back two-a-days, and some teams are cutting back on two-a-days altogether. For the difference of four, five players, six players max, please. This is
ridiculous.
Well,
I think it's just an excuse.
It is an issue. I understand that Bill is going to have to kind of rethink maybe the amount of different guys at different positions. I understand that. It's not irrelevant, but it's not anywhere near as big a deal as it's being made out to be.
But why are the coach? I can see players talking about it to try to get jobs as a youth, but I don't understand why the coaches are so adamant about it being such a big issue. I agree with Paul. It's four or five. It was six guys was the most. Is that?
Six was the maximum.
I think it's a good way for a
most
coach.
Most teams didn't.
I think it's a good way for a coach to give guys days off without, you know, looking like a softy. Oh, I'm forced into I have to protect him.
And that's why
he's done that forever.
I agree. That's a good point.
Oh, Belichick doesn't care.
No.
what people think of him.
Wouldn't it be easier, though?
Everybody else does.
Wouldn't it be easier to give guys the day off with more guys on the roster?
Well, that's what he's saying. And that's a good point that you do bring up, because we know that Bill has often, we call it the veteran day off.
Right.
Even though that's not really what it's called, but that's what we just call it.
We call it the worst day to have the update for the website.
Right. Now maybe, but no, I'm not even talking about the walkthroughs with just the young guys. I'm talking about Kyle Brady goes 3 days, you know, Rodney Harrison gets a day.
On different days.
Different days, various veterans. Now it's harder to do that.
I can't go double sessions because I don't have enough guys.
And, but that's why I said it's not totally irrelevant. It's just not that big a deal.
No, it's
not totally irrelevant.
No, I know.
Bill might have to rethink how often and how frequently, how many different guys can get those days off. They might, he might have to adjust things a little bit.
Let's be honest. But if it was a long snapper, a punter, and a kicker, then it's really only like three guys that are different.
Yeah, right.
Because you can put a Jugs machine out there and have the Jugs machine kick off.
Yeah, I agree. If you had more than one specialist
and most
that you were planning on doing,
mm-hmm. I mean, most
now all of a sudden you only had three extra guys or four extra guys.
It's a three-man difference, possibly.
It's just not that big a deal.
And the Jugs machine,
as Rick Sutcliffe would say, it's not that busy, man.
If you want to manage Chris Hansen's kicks, put the Jugs machine out there and Johnny Rotten and go, phew,
That's all they're going to do.
Right?
Guess who's listening? Gary says you can go all F yourself. Do you honestly think I'd care if you didn't go to the ceremony? That's what he says.
So is that a free out?
Thanks, Andy.
Yes, it sounds like it.
He might not, but his wife would.
Yeah.
Because I'm hearing it's going to be humid, hot.
I'm really happy that you had to bring that out.
And I have a perspiration problem. If I'm in a suit, it could get ugly. And you're going back and forth. At least if I'm in the car and go right to the reception, quick in there, cool.
I just have a child care issue because there's no way on earth.
Yeah, I have that too. I forgot.
And also, Gary, knowing my wife, knows full well that there's no way that my wife would allow me to miss a ceremony that we were invited to.
Besides,
if it wasn't, at all unavoidable.
You really think the bride is going to be paying attention to every single person who's not at the ceremony?
No, but it's something that if you find out, it would bother. Right. It would have bothered me to know that people intentionally didn't
just
bomb
and eat the food.
But I mean, this is like a season ticket holder.
You're not a witness to the consummation.
The consummation. I think that comes later.
Or before,
my guess. Many, many times before.
Well, in Gary's case, he had to wait a couple of years to avoid prison time.
Wow.
Oh, I thought for her to just, develop.
That's what he always is worse than me. He always.
There's a line, and he always crosses it.
That's not true.
He did not cross
the line there. And we got another loser. What's with all these people that aren't at the show listening?
That's all right.
When I'm not here at the show,
I'm out, baby.
I don't think of you guys one bit.
I was thinking of us when you're here.
I was on the beach at this time.
The best example of Andy not being here when he's not here.
Where the hell is he? He probably went to get the food. Because the phone's ringing off the hook in there.
But getting the food is an acceptable excuse
for him to leave his spot.
Yes, he should be. Unless he could be pooping.
Unbelievable.
Andy had the best example of him not being here when he's not here was last year. Last Memorial Day when Marquise Hill died.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 2 days later.
Didn't know.
Hey, so we lost the defensive lineman.
You could argue the best example is the playoff game in Denver that I still haven't seen.
Well, not
I read
seen,
the game story.
But the equivalent of that would be you didn't know who won.
Right. Now, I knew who won. Somebody told me at the wedding. People were asking me, and I said, I don't know. I'm at a wedding.
Can you imagine he was at a wedding during that game, and he didn't even care to keep track of the score in any way?
When I walk away from football, I walk away from football.
I can imagine. So what other football news do we have other than Scott?
Well, they did release three undrafted free agents that were longer shots to make the team.
One of which I've never heard of.
Tyson DeVree.
The tight end.
Casey Tyler.
A D-lineman.
I don't know the other one. Who's the other one?
Hank.
Oh, yeah. Henry Smith.
Henry Smith, the big nose tackle out of Louisville.
Yes, and that Casey Tyler, by the way, was the guy I thought he was, 64.
And most importantly, DeVree was the guy that Fred mistook for
David Thomas
on the day
correct.
He said,
right.
Dave Thomas making it look easy. Apparently it was DeVree, and coaches
taking
didn't feel
easy.
He made it look as easy as Fred did because they cut him before
and
training plotted,
camp. The plotting nature of his run, actually.
And they also signed Eric Alexander to his exclusive free agent tender.
So I think that gets us to 79, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that's the number I counted upstairs, which is not really 79 because that includes
draft picks
seven.
Haven't been signed. Yeah.
But Barry Sims reportedly in for a visit yesterday. Maybe they were making that one roster spot move for Barry Sims. I asked Casey O'Connell if I should expect a release coming from Sims, and he said, Sims, Ken Sims is coming back. No one plays dumb better than Casey O'Connell.
That's true.
I don't think he's playing.
That's what I. That's actually the reply I sent him.
That was good.
Well, he's visiting some other teams too, so
you got a whole spread coming.
Apparently, some interest in Barry Sims.
Yes. Interesting, I think, the overall picture that's developing on the right side of the offensive line, more so than just any one player, is Kazier.
Well, Neal's hurt, too.
Neal is injured.
Yeah.
Kazier has his issues, but has been playing Neal's spot. O'Callaghan, we know, has experience, but I'm not sold that he's a starting NFL right tackle. Oliver Ross, who
is injured.
I don't understand. If the report is right, the report I read, I didn't know this, said he has a fractured collarbone. He missed last year with a torn tricep.
How did he break his collarbone?
Yeah.
Good question.
Unless he, as soon as the triceps healed, was lifting ridiculous, doing something ridiculous. I don't know. Maybe one of these Florio non-contact offseason where, I don't know. But I just don't know how he broke his collarbone. And now Barry Sims, I think there's a lot kind of going on that side of the line. And John Hanna was throwing Fred around in the office.
Well, that was interesting. And I got a little scared at one point because John Hanna was talking about tackle blocking techniques and, you know, dropping the foot and making a guy go a certain angle and, you know, where you go for a guy, where you hit him first and all this stuff. And
watch your back, Fred. There's food coming.
So he's
in buckets.
So we're in the middle of the office and he starts doing this to me.
This is the biggest spread we've ever received.
Wow.
It's phenomenal.
It's being delivered. Anyway.
In person, by the way.
Holy mackerel. Well, let me just finish it. So he starts doing this stuff to me. He goes, if I hit you here, you know, you have to go this way. I go, yeah, but unless I do a swim move. And he looks at me like, oh, no, you don't. Like, he was ready to go. He was ready to go, and I'm like, oh, okay.
I just heard him laughing hysterically at you even using the term swim move.
Right.
or my swim move.
He's still crazy. He still has that line.
No, his eyes lit up like he was ready to go. Live speed,
yeah,
right
he's
there.
He's nuts.
Yeah.
I try to avoid those confrontations,
but
as
good.
I did yesterday when I left Paul's office to the left.
He peeked out and went left
intentionally. The game you guys had going on.
All right, so what do we got here? Joe from Roslindale?
That's it.
This is Joe from Roslindale. Has just walked in with, holy crap, buckets of food.
Ribs, chicken,
on
potato
ice.
Salad, some corn
literally
salad.
Buckets God. Of food. It
really?
Came in buckets.
Two big buckets. What?
Two genders, little twig right. arms, couldn't even pick the
Where
bucket up.
Where is this from?
You got to bulk up
this,
there.
This is all coming from Sunset Grill.
Sunset Grill in Austin. That's a great place.
Now, that's a great candidate for the sponsorship for the program, by the way.
Wait, put on a microphone there. Press that button. Joe, introduce yourself.
I'm Joe from Roslindale. I'm a big fan of the show, and I wrote the email last week saying that I was having some free rider guilt about listening and never buying a lunch, although I did offer several times in the seventh or eighth paragraph in an email. So here I sit now. I wanted to bring this guy's. Bring this down to you guys. And
wow, now do you have any affiliation with Sunset?
I do. I do a little work on the side with some of the restaurants down in Austin and Brighton and around the city. And Mark over there at Sunset in Big City is a great guy. He does a lot for the
Mark, what's his last name?
Mark Kadish.
Mark Kadish. Actually, a friend of mine went to CIA with him.
Oh.
And I little story.
What's CIA?
I think we already heard it.
Culinary Institute of America. Oh.
Central Intelligence
I used to live at 1288 Com Ave in Boston, and I was there the day that Sunset Bar and Grill opened up. And you know, I was a huge beer fan, and Sunset Bar and Grill.
How many beers they have? Like 4,000?
Yeah,
107.
Yeah, they were like one of the first restaurants that had the huge selection. The other was the Worst House in Harvard Square. But then this Sunset Bar and Grill came right. Walking distance from my apartment. I spent a lot of money at that place. Now, do they still have the boot?
The boot? I don't know.
No, the yard of beer.
The yard of beer. The big one.
The stand.
They still have the...
If they don't, Fred, we could make sure that they have it for you if you show up.
No, because they used to serve the beer in the yard glass. It was a big...
Yep.
It sat on the floor, literally.
You had to, like, go two-handed to drink it?
Do they still have the steam burgers?
They do. They got the big thing over there, the wimpy burgers they have. They give you a plate of five little burgers over there.
Yeah.
Pretty
could actually get a peanut butter and jelly at the Sunset Bar and Grill.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to set the over-under at about 4,511 for the amount of wings that I've had from Sunset Grill.
It is so – the wings there are so – they have the atomic wings.
Subatomic is certainly hot enough.
So Sunset
you go with
Bar
the atomic,
and Grill
man,
is just an awesome place. It's on Brighton Ave in Austin.
You can get dinner. You can go upstairs to the big city and play a little, shoot a little pool. And
right.
Many a drunken
Thursday
night.
Oh, they have an upstairs now?
Upstairs,
oh, so that's new.
Yeah, pool hall upstairs.
And now here's a little trivia.
Did you go to the Sunset Grill? You were at BU.
Here's a little trivia.
Yeah, I think I've been there.
Sunset Bar and Grill is basically on the corner of Harvard Ave
and Brighton Ave.
The top floor of that used to be the first office of a very famous sports agent, Bob Wolf.
No.
That's where his office was, right on top of there. Agent to Larry Bird, Carl Yastrzemski.
Really?
Yeah.
A little known fact.
So, all right. So, Joe, this is great.
Hey,
why don't we take
a
break?
Yeah, this is more than we could have ever asked. So,
Gary, get in the other room so we can take a break.
I want to eat.
We're going to take
a break. It's the 12:22 break.
We'll be right back after we have literally stuffed our face.
Nope, still nothing.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-Game Supporters Pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-Game Supporters Pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution Supporter scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution. When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information, and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
New message, Wednesday, May 28th, 11:54 a.m.
Hey, Gare. It's Rob, man. How you doing? So, listen, I saw that video online of, the virtual tour of the hall. How come I'm not voicing that? Like, what's the deal? You know, it's like, I'm good enough to voice, the Patriots Football Weekly, but not that. And who's doing it, man? It sounds like the biggest computer geek. Come on, man. Give me a call. Thanks. Bye.
The Hall at Patriot Place will offer New England Patriots fans one of the most dynamic sports museums in the country, as well as the home to the Patriots Hall of Fame. It's scheduled to open in the fall of 2008 as part of the Patriot Place development at Gillette Stadium. For more information on the hall at Patriot Place and the ongoing Patriot Place development, visit patriot-place.com and sign up to receive regular emailed updates on its progress, along with a chance to win a $10,000 shopping spree.
All right, well, we have set a new standard here for listener lunches.
Oh, yeah.
Joe has done gone way, way, way beyond the call of duty.
He
here.
Even brought dessert, which
you know,
is a first.
Sunset Bar and Grill, this is a full spread. Coleslaw, potato salad, ribs, chicken, watermelon, dessert.
Pineapple cookies.
What's that?
Chocolate cake.
It's some type of rice. Jambalaya. Oh, my God.
Was that potato salad right there,
Fred?
That's
potato salad.
And what's that, coleslaw?
Coleslaw. Unbelievable, Joe. This is great. So on the break, we were talking to Joe. He's doing some lobbying now, but in the past you were a Russian interrogator?
I was. After I was a September 11th enlistee. I enlisted on September 12th after the attacks and went out to Monterey, California to the language school out there for a couple years and then served in the U.S. Army through the NSA as a Russian interrogator. Yeah.
Okay. Now, we need a favor.
Okay.
Can you get Kraft's ring back from Putin?
I'll do everything I can. I'll make a couple calls. I still got some contacts in the intel community over there, Fred, so I should be able to.
Because he stole it, you know.
I know it was downplayed.
It really was.
Yeah.
But, no, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So by interrogator, what does that entail?
By the book, what that entails.
No, I don't want by the book. I want, yeah.
He wants you to say waterboarding. That's what he's going
I want the real stuff.
Yeah, no, I didn't do any of those coercive techniques. They're certainly not torture. They're coercive techniques. I didn't do anything like
you
that.
You say coercive. I say torture. Whatever.
Yeah, it was a lot like this, sitting around a room talking to people. I was all, often the times a good cop.
So, you know. Hmm.
So do you think you could get Eric to tell us whether he's really heterosexual or not?
Oh, that would be good. No, not that. I want to know about his girlfriend.
Does he really have a girlfriend?
Enough, both of you. Enough.
Oh, wow.
Laying down the law.
If we can conduct the interrogation in Russian, maybe I could, but otherwise.
Eric, do you speak Russian?
Just a tiny bit.
why would you have to ask if you could speak?
How's that?
Yeah. My goal today was to get you a flag from Russia. I was going to maybe send a call out to Russia to get someone to call in.
Oh, yeah, I don't believe we have anybody up there.
Pull the mic down.
Oh, wait, there is a. There's a couple pins up there.
We have some people in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's way out in the boonies, too. That's in Siberia, yeah.
Yep.
But in any case, guys, I'm happy you enjoyed it, and it's a great show. Thank you.
This is phenomenal. Fred, I think we might need to put a call out to Chris Ferreira and maybe some of the people from upstairs. There's a lot of food here.
Yeah. Chris, I know you're listening.
Carol Hardy, Kyle.
If you want to come down and eat some food, this is like I might just like wrap it up and save it for my party on July 11th.
You should. You've got competition now. I was looking forward to your party, but to beat these ribs, your party's got a long way to go.
Oh, this
because those are probably the best ribs I've ever had.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
I told you.
I mean,
Sunset Grill is
comes right off the
deal.
Bone and
very, very good.
I don't know what the sauce is, what that qualifies as, the different kinds of barbecue, but I love the sauce.
Well, I haven't been back in years to this, you know, because I moved out of Austin, oh, geez, you know, like 1990.
That's when I graduated.
Right. It's good to know that it's still around, that Mark Kadish is still running it, and they still have the beers. I went there one afternoon, I have to tell you. So I used to collect beer bottles, so I had, and before the microbreweries came out and you had a million, I had almost a bottle of every beer that you could buy. So we went over to Blue Moon one afternoon, and we started ordering, not Belgian monks, but Trappist monks make this beer that we were having. And it's like, 2 times the potency of a normal beer.
I think it's called Humay. Humay is C-A-M-A-Y.
No, was it? Oh, yes, Camay.
Yes.
Yeah. C-A-M-A-Y, right. Yeah. And
correct him because he wouldn't know how to pronounce it.
Well, all I know is C-A-M-A-Y. Let me tell you, I walked out of that place. Oh, my God, I was looped.
Maybe
I
just drink to get drunk. Why else would you drink? Yeah, a little mini Gary.
So
I feel a little bitch. Little like mini Gary is here because everybody's eating. Maybe I could tell you some more stories. I don't know.
You're not going to take part, Joe? Come on. Yeah. Come on.
Oh no! He packed me up a to go, and I had it on the way down.
So. Well, I did have a question for you about the whole Russian spying thing. You know,
sure,
we think that we're, you know, the Cold War is over. There's still that kind of stuff that goes around.
Yeah, I mean, what they trained us to do, especially in the Russian school, is a lot of signal intelligence. So listening to telephone calls, listening to radio transmissions. So you know, I might not be able to get someone to call the show, but I could tell you the tail number of a Russian MiG-6, like no problem. You know, I could hear that. That's the kind of stuff they trained us to do.
That's
a lot
sweet.
A lot of listening, a lot of numbers, a lot of code breaking, those kinds of things. So
listening mostly for like Al Qaeda calls into Russia or other things.
You know, I didn't do a lot of that, but the guys who did do that signal intelligence stuff would tell me that you'd listen to a cell phone call, you know, these guys actually listen to several tracks in their head at the same time. So listening to several telephone calls and just trying to pick out something that sounds off, that sounds strange, and then they go back and have an analyst check it out and see if it sounds like something that's worth reporting on.
They should listen to some of Carol Hardy's calls with the customers.
I think Joe is the coolest person I've ever met.
No, that's awesome.
He's up there. He's in the top three. I've known him for 10 minutes. Right. He's in the top three.
Well,
easy.
Let's talk a little Patriots. You've always been a Patriot fan?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Fred. I mean, you guys are turning me. I would say I'm more of a football fan than I am a Patriots fan. I'm from Boston. I grew up in the city and everything. But yeah, I'm definitely a big Patriots fan and have been my whole life. And
wait a minute. We turned you off to the Patriots?
No, I think you're turning me into a Patriots fan.
Oh, okay.
I'm just a football fan. I mean,
oh, okay.
Listening to you guys is working for me. I got the package when I was out there in the Army and used to watch all the games, which is the one year that they were lousy. Of course, in 2002 was when I was really on active duty most of the time. But yeah, definitely a big Patriots fan and so always tuning into the show. And
so how did
turning
you,
other people onto it, I would tell you as well.
How did you deal with you know, the loss and all this Spygate crap? Is this, you know, because I've noticed, and I said this on the air before, I've noticed a decrease in the number of, not necessarily listeners to this show, but visitors to the website. I've seen a little bit of decrease since the loss and this whole Spygate. And I think it definitely correlates, you know, because I do the numbers year to year and month to month and all that. I mean, as a fan, did you need a break? After, you know, the Super Bowl, did you have to kind of shut it off for a while and yeah?
Yeah, I definitely took some time off after the Super Bowl. It's convenient that the season ends right there, that there was nothing left to watch. But yeah, I definitely took a little time away. But I think, you know, I think you'll see those numbers start to rise again in August, and people will be back when things get going. Definitely,
yeah.
there's no question, yeah. Especially, and I really think that things feed off of each other. So if the Celtics end up winning this thing, and even this run that they made, and if the Red Sox are hot going into the fall, it just all feeds off of itself, and these people will be fired up. So yeah.
It's still a great run, but could you imagine if they had won the Super Bowl, you had the Red Sox, World Series, Super Bowl, and now possibly the NBA championship? I mean,
life for us, anyway, would be completely different if we had won that game, you know, because
I would have gotten my trip to the White House.
Well, not only that, but it's just, you know, working off the fact that the Patriots were the only undefeated team, well, you know, 19-0 team ever. I mean, there's just so many things that we would have to do because of that. It would be a completely different life, but, you know, whatever.
We had that whole board up in Paul's office with off-season story ideas that we were thinking about prior to the Super Bowl, assuming that we were going to win. And
yeah, we were going to put a whole tournament together of the best teams of all time. And Andy and I were going to call as many, you know, NFL legends like Don Shula and the like that we could, and Chuck Knoll, and try to compare those teams to this team. And
right.
We had a whole tournament we were going to set up. And
that went out the window.
Maybe next year.
All right. Well, we're talking.
Instead, I took the last 3 months off.
Before Joe walked in with this feast, we were, what were we talking about?
Who cares? The feast is better.
80-man limit on the roster. That's what we were.
Okay.
Yeah. This jambalaya is spicy.
But we also talked about some cuts that they made. Any other news, any other football news we need to bring up before we get to some emails?
Jonathan Ogden's retiring.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perennial Pro Bowler.
We also had a lot of...
Michael Strahan. Well, we talked about that.
A lot of people saying they're going to report to camp but not practice.
Oh, yeah. Plaxico Burress.
Plaxico Burress.
Chad Johnson.
Chad Johnson.
That's the new thing.
Did report, though, right?
Yeah.
Reported but didn't practice.
I believe he's not practicing, which is the new thing.
Urlacher reported to his practice.
Leading some in Chicago to believe there's a contract on
now,
the way.
Now, closer to being related to the Patriots, and maybe not a high-profile name, but Jason Peters not reporting in Buffalo, all-pro tackle.
And supposedly looking for Jake Long contract.
For a team that has made some steps to improve itself in the last year or so and seems to be on the right page and then going in the right direction. That's a big thing. They signed two offensive linemen last year to ridiculous contracts, in my opinion. Derek Dockery was like $49 million, something like that. So Peters is far more accomplished than the guys that they signed, yet is making about half of what those guys are making annually, and he's not happy about it. That could be a, you know, a damaging thing for a team that's making strides. You don't want to have any of those kinds of things when you're trying to improve. You don't ever want to have any of those things, but I think especially when you're at that development stage.
Gary writes in again, you can really go F yourself. I was just checking my email for 10 minutes and I tuned in.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Okay. But Gary, you missed the best,
yeah,
best lunch
spread
ever.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, not even close to anything. And we appreciate all the lunches that people have sent. But this is...
Just in terms of sheer volume of food.
Well, quality, too.
And quality and dessert.
And
the man brought dessert. No one ever thinks to bring dessert for
No,
us.
That's true.
And we're big dessert people.
Yes, we are. So that is just amazing. Do you like being called Joe from Roslindale? Is that all right?
Yeah, Joe from Roslindale.
Joe
great.
From Roslindale.
Yeah, I have Rosie pride.
Joe, do you know Bill Mahoney?
Bill Mahoney. Is a Rosie guy?
Yeah, he's a Rosie guy. He was BU baseball coach for years and years.
Yeah, no, I'm a Brighton guy originally.
And just, he now is, yeah. I think, the vice principal of Brighton High.
The baseball coach at Brighton High School. Yeah, sure.
Billy
Mr.
Mahoney.
I know Mr. Mahoney.
Okay.
Yeah, he was
all
my
right.
dad. He was my dad's baseball coach at Brighton High School, and Mr. Mahoney's a great
guy.
I played for
baseball at BU. For
oh,
him.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you know he led the Brighton High School team to the state championship last year, and they won a Super Bowl this year in football. So that,
yeah, I was happy for him. He finally won something. He didn't win anything when he was coaching me.
Well,
that's for sure.
Well, you didn't help, probably.
He had that albatross around his neck.
That's right.
I was the star.
Okay. All right.
Which says a lot about how bad we were.
Let's see.
Missing a long ball Paul reference?
No, he knows my coach.
Well, I know you as Long Ball Paul because you gave up mammoth home runs.
Yeah, well, that's not entirely accurate. You get
that's what Scott Pioli told me.
I was going to say you get your information from questionable sources. What do you want?
Oh, Pioli told me. Now you're calling Pioli questionable. I believe you told me you gave up a home run that cleared a Marlboro man out of field.
I actually said it hit a Marlboro man, but that wasn't accurate either.
Well, the story I put forth
is it was a guy along the third baseline that's from Marlboro.
That's inaccurate.
If I could prove to you that I never gave up a home run at Central Connecticut, period, would you believe me?
No, I wouldn't care either way. I'll just keep telling the story.
No, I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
He lost.
No, I pitched in relief. I didn't get a decision.
At least he played, Andy. I mean, you sat the bench at Tufts.
I did not.
Yes, you did. Come on.
Well, I did later in my career. But
trust me, if you were out there, we'd see videos. You know, you would have shown us video by now.
Of Division III football?
There's
no,
nothing. You got nothing.
What do you think he's getting that video?
Nobody filmed Tufts games?
Didn't you see like that? That video that was on ESPN of like the 17 laterals for that touchdown in that Division III game.
Right.
It was like on someone's telephone.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I mean, they don't exactly have this readily available video of Division III football.
It's still out there.
I'm going to be sick later, just so you know.
And
how's that different than
Chris Pereira? If you're listening,
I called.
I called. They're on their way.
You guys should come down.
By the way, Joe, I'm not going to be sick because it's bad.
Oh, good.
Quite the contrary.
Mora, there's probably
Andy's
plenty
like
of stuff.
Dog. He just can't stop eating.
There's even plenty of stuff here for Mora.
And I have a digestive problem.
I hate to set myself up for failure, but like I said, I do a lot of work on the side for a bunch of restaurants over there. So with this kind of response, I might be able to help you guys out.
Well, you tell those restaurants anytime they want to send food, we will plug them. In fact,
not the way Eric plugs people.
No, listen, James from England,
Orange Firewater.
I want you to set up a page on pfwinprogress.com.
Can I correct you for a second?
That has restaurant partners. We'll put. Conley's up. We'll put Sunset Bar and Grill up with their phone number and address and website.
All right. James, okay? Wonderful job. James is from Wales, not from England. You always say it's James from England.
Okay, from Wales.
James is from Wales. Okay. He wrote in yesterday just to correct that.
Wales is not England?
It's one United Kingdom.
It's a different country.
Yeah, UK. James from the UK.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what we'll do is we'll set up a page with all these restaurants. we'll put up their information so fans can call them up and visit them. When
you want to tease us with some of the other institutions that might be providing in the future?
There's a great new place over there that I've been helping out. I'm sure you're all, especially Fred, if you were on Comm Ave, I'm sure you're well acquainted with what used to be Molly's and what is now the Kells.
Yeah, I've been there.
Jerry Quinn at the Kells, who was not too long ago the person of the week on Peter Jennings because he gave a cash donation to a guy he'd never met in New York City for a new kidney. Opened a new restaurant called Previs, which is a sushi restaurant right there next to the Kells on Brighton Ave, which is also great. Great lounge atmosphere, and sushi doesn't travel that well, but we'll figure something out. Spike's Junkyard Dogs over there.
And there are those of us that don't eat fish.
Fancied up hot dogs with chili and cheese and stuff?
All kinds of stuff.
That's right up my alley.
We'll talk to some of these guys.
So do you ever get on like Phantom Gourmet and those, you know, TV Diner?
I don't. Curiously enough, Fred, those guys I know from childhood, the West End House camp that the Andelmans are very involved in, I know, but I've never been involved in the show. No, I like to stay behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, yeah. You should get the restaurants on there anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those guys were on there, yeah.
That whole Brighton area, really, they've done a lot in that area. Because I remember, you know, when it was Bunratty's and, you know.
Our House?
Yeah, there was a bar every, like, 3 square feet.
Yeah, it's still like that.
Just so you know. Our House was directly across the street from me. D.E. Blakely's, which then turned into Arbuckle's, which is now something else.
Yeah,
I used to eat dinner there so often that I was invited to their employee parties. Their Christmas party, I got invited to that because I was such a frequent customer.
That was the
customer.
Bass Pro back in the day.
Right, 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 right.
Now, even before that, before it was D.E. Blakely's, Fred, it was a place called The One Gentleman. And when I was a young lad, my grandfather, who had a bit of the Irish disease, would take me over there and would go to the One Gentleman and he'd tell everybody.
Did
it was
he
my
put
birthday.
A plug in the jug after that?
Well,
you hear that, Owen?
He never
you
got
drunk.
Around, he never got around to it, but he he'd go in and would tell him it was my birthday and I'd get a buck from everybody and then he'd take the buck and we'd go to the next place.
That's great.
Tell him it was my birthday, I'd get a buck there, and then we'd get on the train and go over to Andrew Square and we'd do the same thing at the Quiet Man and all those joints around there. So,
man,
Brighton's a lot of great history, a lot of great barroom history.
Oh, great stuff. I was sitting in Arbuckle's one night, and Bob Gamier comes in. Remember Bob Gamier?
Stumbling.
Comes stumbling in the night before the Army-Navy game. Eric, I got to bet, because he had this, like, 1-900 thing. You bet on Navy tomorrow. It's a sure thing. Army won. But he was a mess.
I was over there not two nights ago, Fred, and he stumbled in again. So he's
is that right? He's still
routine.
Doing it.
Yeah, yeah,
oh, my
yeah.
God.
Who is this guy?
Bob Gamier. He used to...
Great Gamier.
He used to... be an on-air, a TV kind of sports anchor guy, and he was very, very good. And then he hosted one of the bowling shows, and he's been around the Boston TV scene for a long, long time, and you know, just big drinker, and so we got into like sports betting online, not online.
I can't believe he's still alive.
Yeah, they found him face down in the fens one night.
Right, Eric, you might have been with him.
Oh,
what?
That hurts, Paul.
It hurts a little more coming.
A little bit.
All right, Web Radio.
What are you laughing at, too, Jinder? I'm sure you were there, too.
Web Radio at Patriots.com's email address, Web Radio at Patriots.com. Andrew writes in, first, Fred, tell your son with the girlfriend to get Abercrombie and Fitch cologne. It's the best-smelling male cologne I've ever worn, and my girlfriend crazed me after I put it on.
Crazy.
See, that's not what I want to happen. The kid's in seventh grade.
That's not what we're looking for.
This is not what
Churchill?
I want.
So Connor's going to go?
He's had one for a long time. Yeah.
Same girl?
It's an on-again, well, off-again.
I mentioned on Tuesday's show that he's buying cologne now. Goes to the mall, and he comes back with a bottle of cologne. Whether or not he paid for it, I don't know.
But apparently she left him and then was at their house for a barbecue.
No, at the lacrosse picnic.
He says that he left her, though.
Well, okay, but...
That's what I'd go with, too.
That she saw him throwing a baseball or a lacrosse
Oh, for Christ's
thing.
Sake.
Whatever. What did he do? He did something stupid.
It's
and
a lacrosse thing, so it's a lacrosse radar gun. They were timing the shots with the radar
and
gun.
And he had the fastest time, and so now she was into him again.
Oh, nice.
And so I said, what does that say about her, if that's all it takes? He goes, I broke up with her.
Who cares? Is she hot?
She's seventh grade, Andy.
But in the realm of seventh grade, is she hot?
We're not talking to Gary.
Because I don't
here.
Think he's looking for someone to marry. He's looking to be with the hottest girl in school.
No.
I'm glad that you put a brakes on that.
Be with. I said be with. Bang.
And also, Andrew says, Carmani told me that he likes it when Eric wears cologne while tracing pictures of him. All right.
You had to read that, Fred, didn't you?
Well, it was, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's part of the email.
Sure, yeah.
We're email-driven here.
Sure. Fred always reads everything in the emails, doesn't he?
We're talking about James in the UK, specifically Wales, and PFWinProgress.com. He says, I just want to say thanks again for the comments. Just had to let you know that the site didn't get hacked. The UKPatriots.com forum was hacked, and someone mentioned it on the PFW forum. So there's a little clarification there. And the James Cuff Media thing is a freelance job. My day job is quite similar, though. I'm a multimedia journalist. I film and edit short videos for a news website and run an entertainment website.
Interesting.
Also, on a minor note, as we talked about, I'm from Wales, not England. So...
How long has he been emailing in? It took him that long for us to get it right.
But, James, since you're listening, we need that restaurant partner page up.
Now we're giving orders.
Well, I mean, you know.
He doesn't work for you, you know. We have to do what you say. He doesn't.
He asked us what we want on there, and okay. I'm telling you.
As long as he asked, and, you know, just you might want to phrase it in the form of, like, right. you know, maybe if you wanted could. To, maybe you could right. not get it done. I want restaurants yeah. by tomorrow.
He's not on the payroll,
jeez.
Fred.
Well, maybe he might.
He has a real job.
You know, you never know.
Chris Ferreira, you're yeah. out.
You never know what yeah. your next job's coming and or what true. Your next opportunity is. And yeah. so
you want to make $5 the hard way?
That's right. That's right. Paul yeah. is just, he hasn't said a word. He's just stuffing
well,
his face.
Well, he can't. Look, you need one of those wet naps, Paul.
Excellent strategic decision, though, because he's been dumping the rib bones as he's gone through, whereas Andy has several dozen.
Well, Andy had to hold off after having the jambalaya that has these spicy peppers.
Andy's not going to make it for the end of the show.
Got a little, yeah.
Andouille sausage in there, too.
If Andy let's doesn't keep the bones there, he loses room. Track, and then he just...
That does happen. Then I eat till I puke, and right. during the day, that's ugly. At home, that's okay, but...
Should I be trying that jambalaya, too?
No, it's got seafood in it.
Okay.
And it's spicy. Really well, spicy.
I like that.
Coleslaw is good and the potato salad is good.
Like, my yeah, belly's like on fire one. Spicy, which means soon my butt will be on fire spicy.
Like Night Court in the third season, fifth season, lame? What is it? What season is it?
Fifth season. I don't think there was a sixth.
Frank writes in, and Frank is from Winnipeg. He says, Earth to Fred, forget about the paper. Put it on the website. Concentrate on the webcast. Now let's talk money. Do the Pats get $1 million worth of value from PFW in a Progress webcast? Of course. Therefore, a raise is in order. Henceforth, Fred will get $250,000 of limo service. Paul and Gary will get $200,000 in a leased car. And Tom, Andy, and Eric get $150,000 in a bus pass.
Hey. All sounds reasonable to me.
I'll take it. Fred's attempt to dumb down Eric seems to be working. Eric used
of course,
to be...
Fred would have to take a pay cut in that scenario.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right.
You make a half mil. There's no question.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
I make a half mil.
I've seen your house and all the gadgets. I bet you Mr. Kraft doesn't have a robot to clean his gutters, but you do.
Fred's attempt to dumb down Eric seems to be working.
I bet he has a guy.
His name might be named Al. But.
Eric used to be guarded and high-strung, but now under Fred's guiding hand, he is more relaxed and mellow. Perhaps he should be sent on assignments, say to Tuscany. After that, he can return and ignite our imagination with more fascinating tales from abroad.
If only he could get abroad.
I'd like to have tales about abroad. How's she doing?
I'm not talking to you about this, Fred. We went over this the other day.
I love the way Fred just continues to peck and peck. It's, by the way, is it is even hotter in here than it was last
yes,
week,
it is.
Tuesday?
Well,
with all the food,
the feeding
probably,
frenzy
you know,
that we're in the middle
and
of.
The combustion that's going on in my system right now.
We got emails, Fred. You got emails, don't you?
Eric, seriously.
Oh, Fred.
Is she gone?
Listen to me.
Just tell me if she's gone or not, and I'll back off. My one question. She's not gone?
Listen, part of the allure of this show... Part of,
I know you
is
said that,
that
the
is
other
that
day.
We are open books with our listeners.
I'm not doing it with you. Not on this topic. No.
Not on this topic.
No.
Why?
Because it's serious.
No. Yes, it's serious
so
and it's
what?
Important
he
to
wants
me.
To marry
I
love my
girl.
Wife, but I talk about her.
Yeah.
Am I any less serious about her?
If
than
we're
going to
go that direction,
this
you don't often talk about Nikki.
You met in Delaware.
You don't often talk about Nikki, and I've never heard you say anything that portrayed Nikki in a less than favorable light.
He's got a point there.
Well, I mean. The topics never...
Tell us a story that's embarrassing for Nikki. Go. And Eric will then answer one question.
No.
She met Fred.
I'm an arbitrator here.
No,
I'm negotiating.
Not. No, Donald Fear, you're not.
Well done. You're not doing it.
No.
People. So you're off the hook, too, because you...
Yeah, Fred's off.
You don't talk about Nikki very often
sure
on this show.
No, you don't.
Sure, I do.
Except Nikki yells at me when I cut the soap.
Right.
When the subject
when
comes
we
up,
bring it up.
When the
right. We bring it up, though. We bring up Nikki.
Listen to me. Listen to me, Eric. God. People want to know.
Well, I don't care. I don't
You're
want
not
them,
giving
no.
them what they're asking
I said
for.
Too much the first time I got back, and I don't want
There's
to make
no
that mistake
doubt about
again.
That.
You need to know your audience, and you need to please your audience.
I don't
You
need,
can't
no.
withhold this.
Yes, I can.
People want to know what's going on in your life.
Well, that part I'm not going to talk about.
Sell any paintings?
Not in the last 2 days, no.
Have you actually completed a
See,
sale?
Now you opened yourself up here.
We talked about it the last time.
No, but I want to know, have you completed a sale, whereas you sent them a painting and they sent you
he
a check?
He never answers that
right.
question with a yes or a
right.
no.
Right when Fred asked, how many subscribers, PFW,
who wants,
who wants
to, know?
To know?
No, Andy, no.
Okay.
I've not completed
a
transaction.
Are you working
yes.
on
yes.
said painting?
One of them, yeah, so far.
Okay. Let me know when the check clears.
I will.
Now, do you have the checks written out to Eric Scalavino, or is it like Eric Scalavino, Inc., LLC,
no,
or...
Just the first name. Right?
So you haven't set up a corporation?
You should probably incorporate.
Yeah, I did, but
in
I
Delaware.
Haven't set up a an account for it yet.
You should do it in Delaware.
So you're
right?
incorporated?
Tax laws are favorable.
I don't know if incorporate is the word, but it, I've set up, it's a schedule C, I think it's called, in tax terms.
I don't know.
Well, that's what it is when you have your own small business. That
okay, you're so you're doing write-offs. To, you have
mm-hmm.
an accountant?
Mm-hmm.
You have
my own account. My own account.
A single
my own account.
What?
I have sold some stuff, Andy, but it was a while ago.
I'm not talking about your body.
No, he had a lemonade stand at the end of his driveway.
Portraits by Eric.
RJ writes in. RJ's from Vegas, and he's still trying to get Tom to move out there. But anyway,
he'll
he
be
says,
there soon, don't worry.
He's got a
We're trying to get Tom to move out there,
I think
too.
He's out there now.
He's got a Vrabel quote. Quote, we could have been a great defense last year if we'd played better in the red zone. Statistically, we were good, except in that area. So RJ says, I'm feeling good about what the Pats have done in the offseason for the second year in a row. My gut tells me that our defense will be much improved based on personnel changes alone. But what do you feel needs to be done specifically to improve what Vrabel mentioned? Is there more to it beyond the younger, faster argument?
I think the younger, faster thing is really a big, big part of that. And I think that really shines through in the red zone. You know, it might not seem like that makes sense because it's a smaller area to cover. You think you get away with it a little bit more. Right. But I think athletes make plays in those areas.
I think they do. But I also think that, you know, it, because things are congested, if you're an offense, you're trying to run plays that kind of mix up guys mm-hmm. going in the wrong direction on defense. And the thing I like, again, about Fernando Bryant is he's a smart mm-hmm. player. He's the kind of guy that, he's not going to make a big interception, but he's not going to get out of position.
I'm going to predict that fans are going to really like this guy a lot.
Yeah.
Because I think that he is that kind of cornerback that's not going to make a lot of mistakes. So he's not going to, you know, it's not going to be like Dwayne Starks where you're going to see him getting beaten all the time and he's immediately going to draw the ire.
Plus he's not a jerk like Dwayne Starks.
Well, I was going to say, plus you're going to hear him off the field and you can't help but be impressed with the guy. He's a very impressive figure to listen to. I think fans are going to really like
him. You know, and I think once you get Wheatley up to speed, he's another cerebral player. So you're going to have smart guys out there that are going to know the system and know.
Been playing corner since middle school. How could he fail?
Right. Yeah, he knows the position.
I don't know about Wheatley yet because I haven't seen him play a game, but Bryant.
I think the other thing that would help, and this is going to sound like a lame Bill Belichick answer, is I think up front they need to get guys to win one-on-one battles in the pass rush. I think too much of their pass rush has been predicated on blitzing and creative.
Yep.
I think they need a guy like Adalys Thomas to rush off the edge and get there and put some pressure on a passer. And maybe Mike Vrabel and some of these guys. And that deals with athleticism and things. But I think that's something they've lacked is a pure, you know, Vrabel had 12 and a half sacks last year. But you don't fear him like a Jason Taylor or a Sean Merrick. They need a guy that has more of a pure the offense fears him on a certain down so that you don't end up blitzing Rodney Harrison.
But those guys are coming at a premium.
Adalys Thomas should be one of those guys. He came at a $30 million premium.
We paid a premium for him.
We kind of saw some of that in the Super Bowl.
Yes, and that's what I'm hoping for. You know me. Since day one, I've been lusting on Adalys Thomas to play outside and to be a game-changing playmaker.
And I thought that as the season went on, after Colvin got hurt, as the games went on, I thought he was more and more of a presence in that role.
Roosevelt Colvin, perfect example. I don't care if it was the 10.5 sacks with the Bears or the 6, 8, 10, whatever he's had the last few years here. He was never a game-changing pass rusher.
No.
He had plays and he'd get a
around
sack.
Around the ball. Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
I agree.
But I'm talking about a game-changer. And I think Richard Seymour can be one of those as well. And if he's anywhere near his best, next to Thomas anywhere near his best, I think those two guys can change
Wilford
plays.
Taking up two guys.
I think that, and they need guys to play. Some of these guys play really well, but they need to have an impact.
And if Hobson and Mayo can do their jobs for most of the season staying inside, that'll let Thomas stay out on the outside.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And we'll have more of a chance to do what he did
in the
Super
Bowl.
And since we're sticking with football here, we're in a little stretch here. I like it. Tank Williams thing, Paul.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot on Tuesday.
Don't you think that kind of falls in line with what we've talked about over the last year and a half, 2 years, that maybe Belichick is tweaking his thought of linebackers in a 3-4, especially on the inside, in light of Jonathan Vilma they liked, John Beeson they liked, athletic, passing down, playmaking linebackers, and maybe that Mayo is the future of the position as Teddy Bruschi, as you know, your Mike linebacker, call out the defense, more of a run than pass guy. And maybe that other position that's been Roman Pfeiffer is kind of morphing into more of a speed-based athlete. We need to counteract what NFL offenses are doing. We don't need Ted Johnsons on the field, at least not two of them inside. Could that play into that whole Tank Williams thing?
I think it does a little bit, and I think, you know, and watching him in minicamp, especially on Saturday, he appears to have a lot of versatility to be able to do some of those things. He's looks very comfortable to me. And they didn't have pads on. We talked about this too, you know, all the disclaimers that you can put in without right. being physical because they didn't have pads on.
Yeah, we didn't start ripping Monty Beisel in minicamp.
Right. No, they're all in play.
But, 2 weeks into the season.
One play, he is lined up right at the line of scrimmage. On the next play, he's lined up 25 yards behind the line as a safety. And another play, he's got Kevin Faulk on one of those wheel routes out of the backfield. Could not have covered him any better. Brady's pass was there. He made a great play on the ball, jumped, picked it off in the end zone. Probably the best play for the defense of the day. They went crazy. I mean, I just saw a lot of the ways they use Rodney in different roles and different schemes and stuff. I see them trying to do right now with Tank Williams. Now, I also thought it was interesting, and I mentioned this Tuesday, Andy. He's listed, I think, at 223. Mike Reese talked to Bill a little while on Saturday on his own. And the next day he had something, or it might have been 2 days later, but he had something along the lines of he's listed at 223, but probably is closer to 230 or is in the 230s or something like that. That kind of, I mean, I don't know for sure.
Right.
But that led me to believe, I don't care who you are, you can't look at a guy and say, he's not 223, he's 231.
Right.
No one can do that.
Not with any reliability
no.
or credibility.
So it tells me that he probably asked Bill something along the lines of, is he too small to play in there? And Bill said, he's actually, 231, 232, we're trying to put some weight on him or whatever. And that, so I believe what Mike wrote to be accurate,
right.
because I saw the conversation with Bill, I didn't hear any of it. I'm speculating with what it was about, but I'm guessing that's what it was about.
Well, along those same lines, I'll keep up with football-related emails. Alex writes, somebody's at the door. Who is it?
Hi, it's Lori Baranski. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I'm not saying anything about my breasts. Guys.
Well, thanks, Lori, but...
You all suck.
It's interesting that... today's word, dug up by two gender in there, has to do with the food. That's where he got the idea, but is sort of related to Lori Baranski. And today's word is rib
overrated.
Pontoons. That's rib pontoons, and it's something Lori Baranski does not have.
Do you believe this guy?
Can I use the sentence?
No.
Check out the rib pontoons on that. I won't say the last word. Remember line from Dumb and Dumber? Check out the fun bags on that hose hound. That's rib pontoons.
Just walked into the studio, too.
All right.
Might be time for the 1 o'clock break, Freddie.
Oh, we never take a 1 o'clock right. break.
Well, we'll take a 12:59 break, and when we come back, we'll get to Alex's email.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-game supporters pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-game supporters pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution supporter scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile Belgium hot sack attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots gridiron grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots gridiron grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
A rooster, also called a cock or a chancelier, chanticleer, the female being called a hen. The oldest term is cock from Old English. Cock.
So Andy's a chicken? Is that what you're telling me?
Hen equal female chicken. Rooster equal male chicken. So welcome to second grade, Fred.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back in PFW in progress. Joe has left the building, but
food is still here, though.
Memory of Joe will last forever.
He has left his mark. The Sunset Barn Grill on the corner of Harvard and Brighton Ave in Brighton. That's a suburb, not a suburb, but a little part of Boston.
A borough?
Borough, I guess you'd call it. Yep.
Is it?
It's right on the C and B line.
I never heard that term attributed in Boston. It's always the boroughs of New York.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. How many boroughs are there in Boston?
Don't know.
They're not called boroughs, but it's a neighborhood, isn't it?
Yeah, neighborhood. Yeah.
You know, it's like Charlestown and the North End. Right. And
are they all zip codes? Is that how it works?
I think they have Austin codes. Brighton has its own zip code, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
02035.
Is the one here.
I was going to say Foxborough.
Wait.
You freaking moron.
02135.
Oh, really?
Yep. Remember Zoom?
Isn't it 02134?
That was Austin, and Brighton is 35.
Is one of the TV stations there? I feel like they give out their mailing address. Red Sox games, SBK? Did they used to have contests?
That's in Brighton.
02135.
Yep.
Because I can remember from sending in like contests when I was a little kid to try to win
Zoom?
Red Sox tickets.
Right, no. Zoom.
ZOOM, Box 350, Boston, Mass. 02134.
There's another great moment right there.
No, that was not so great. That was lame.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Hey, boss, you're a loser.
Alex says, Paul mentioned that in 02, the Patriots came with a strong nickel scheme with three safeties that failed miserably for its inability to stop the run. What was the original idea behind such a package?
To get their best players on the field? Was Victor Green's package?
That's a very good question. I don't have the answer for it, though.
Well, the original idea was
the big nickel, they called it.
They called it the big nickel.
A spicy.
And I think there was a lack of partly it was a personnel thing, right. I thought. That they just didn't have enough.
But they had linebackers. It might have been born early in the year out of linebacker injuries. I remember Bruschi got hurt early in that year. Pfeiffer had a hamstring or a groin problem that he dealt with. It may have been born out of injuries because they had depth at linebacker then, if you recall. They had the six for four spots back in those days.
I do not recall.
And then where did they go?
You know, with Pfeiffer, Bruschi, McGinnis.
No, I know the general, but I don't know the specifics of 2002, early part of the season. No,
where did they go like that year? It was a road game, and they just got torched.
Tennessee late in the game. That was the one that the emailer talked about.
Yeah. But even earlier,
well, if you take out the long runs, wasn't it one of those? Or
no, that
Bill have a way of
no the
that
San
game?
Diego game early in the year when LaDainian Tomlinson ran for 200 yards. If you took out the 7 yard runs of 50 yards or more, they didn't allow hardly any run. And then it was the opposite against Tennessee late in the year. Well, they averaged 3.1 right. yards per carry. Yeah, and they had 85 carries. You never got off the field the whole night.
Belichickisms. Oh yeah, we should mention that, Fred. Kobe Bryant was asked about Tim Donaghy and the allegations that the NBA has fixed playoff games, and he said we don't really think about it. And then he said not to be Belichicky on you, basically referencing Bill's denials and using the Bill Belichick mode in the media. Which, by the way, that scandal is far bigger than any Spygate scandal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, anytime you take another step up the ladder and cheating is involved
right.
and move to the corporate offices of the league now pulling strings to orchestrate
games. This would be the equivalent of Spygate for the NBA would be as if the NFL offices told Belichick to
right.
do these things because they wanted them to win.
Right.
Put this on the par with that.
Wouldn't
the NBA
be talking
thing is far more serious.
By far the biggest scandal in sports history?
I think so.
And I mean, because Black Sox was a team.
Yeah. In pro sports yeah. history, I would say yes.
What are the others? Pete Rose, for example, is
Individual.
A guy.
Yeah.
And this is a league.
Mm.
I also have another question. Is it true that the NBA network that airs the game makes $80 million for each additional game?
I don't know. No, the network itself. Like
That's
ABC,
what I said.
Would
the network.
Oh, I thought you said the NBA network.
Well, I meant
I
the network
meant NBA
that it's on for
I thought
NBA
you meant
finals.
NBA TV, in other words.
That's ridiculous. I'd be fixing them, too. $240 million for
games
an extra 3 games?
Games 5, 6, and 7 are worth $80 million apiece.
I'd sign off on it. Andy Hart would sign David Stern, fix game.
Well, you know, whenever there's that much money involved, it...
But the...
You know,
that whips back around, and if people stop watching because they think all the games are fixed and it's
right.
stupid, that all goes down
the
pisser.
You run the risk of losing more money than you would have made.
It's fixed, you goof.
Well, that's all you have in sports, and that's why I don't, you know, we don't have to turn this into an NBA thing, and Fred and I talked about this
No,
a while
I just
ago.
Wanted to compare it to Spygate in that this is a much bigger deal.
Oh, no question. It's far more serious. Like I said.
Where's our inspector?
They're coming.
It doesn't involve the 76ers.
They're coming. Are you guys not watching any news? The Congress is coming.
Actually, I haven't watched one bit.
And I want to see then all the Patriots fans come out and say how the Congress shouldn't be getting involved in these things. Don't they have better things to worry about like gas prices? But that won't happen.
429.
But this
down
is
the street.
Far, far more serious than Spygate.
Yes.
I mean, Spygate, like you said, Andy, was one team acting alone. There was no directive. There was no conspiracy theory to have
Spygate
one team win.
Spygate was stealing signals.
It was cheating, but it was one team cheating.
It was stealing signals, period. That's
okay.
what it was.
No, I know. He gets so defensive. He's gonna like.
We all agree, Fred. I don't know
why are you yelling at us.
No, you can't. You can't compare the two.
No, but if the comparison would be that the game is not being the competition is not on the up and up.
That would be the comparison.
Whether it's
that
the
does
league
work.
Doing it or the team ensuring that they have an advantage through cheating. That's the comparison. Is if you're watching a championship game or a playoff game that is not being played on the level. And I also want to know how do gamblers get involved with this because they got to be mad, right? Like, if they're gamblers who are illegal but are influential and have a lot of money are wagering on playoff games that they now find out are fixed, it's like the guys who are doing illegal things are getting screwed by the league who's doing illegal things. It's like all messy.
Not a whole lot you can do about that as a bookie.
Right. No, I know. I just think it's funny that
somebody's got to stick
the
up
bad guys
those
are getting
gamblers.
Screwed by the good guys who are the bad guys.
Right. Messy, it's a mess.
Messy,
and,
messy.
You know... We talk a lot about Roger Goodell.
It's hot as hell in here.
Yeah. We talk a lot about Roger Goodell and how we don't think he handled the situation right from the get-go. And I think to the contrary, I thought David Stern handled this perfectly at the get-go. He's only stumbling now where he made, I don't know, whoever made the decision to go after $1 million from Tim Donaghy. If he's not already fired, he should be. And if it was Stern himself... That's a worse misstep than anything Goodell has done along the way. They were basically free and clear. This story came out, last August, September?
Yeah.
September, I think, because it was around the time that all three sports were embroiled in a mess with baseball, football,
yep.
and basketball. It was going away. He handled it great. And...
Rogue employee.
We're doing our investigations, and we're letting you know what those investigations are bearing, and then you come out and you go after
You go after $1 million. What is $1 million to the NBA?
Nothing. A drop in the bucket.
Besides the fact that they claim that all their investigations cost a neat and tidy $1 million.
Oh, is that what they said?
Yeah, that's what they were seeking for restitution.
$1 million.
It was the money that they spent in investigating this cost them $1 million. That's what they claimed. That's why they were going after it from Donaghy. Besides the fact that there's no way he could ever pay you. He's penniless, basically.
Right. Unless you hire him back and he can fix some games and get some money.
That's why once the story comes to a close, when you're involved in that kind of stuff, you're best off just letting it die.
No, you do what the NFL does. You off them.
That's a good point, too.
You know?
That's a good point, too.
But we were referencing.
But Andy and I were crazy to suggest that Matt Walsh was out of his mind for coming forward.
I say you could go one of two directions, off him or pay him. They may have done that over with two different parties over the last month.
And you had mentioned that as a kind of a joke with that Fox News item that you were talking about with Barack Obama.
Right. Do you hear? I told you about
that. You
told
me that, yeah.
Do you hear what happened? The woman who read it was fired and issued an apology. You know, I apologize, but those were not my words.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, well, whose words were they? You know, who put those on the teleprompter?
Producer, who writes the script.
But my guess is they said, look, you're going to get fired. We're going to give you $5 million. Mm-hmm. You're never going to know where that
came
from.
Shut up about it.
Right, because they can sue us, but they're not going to sue you.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Did you hear about that story? I guess Obama gave some sort of hand gesture to his...
Fist bump. He gave
a fist bump
to his wife.
And on Fox News Channel, they speculated that it was some sort of gang...
terrorist. They go, fist bump or terrorist fist jab or something like that. We'll be back, you know, like...
In a tease to a commercial.
Sounds like an inside joke that somebody let on the air, like... Somebody was joking around, I'll type this into the teleprompter, and then forgot to delete it.
No, but she got fired.
No one's dumb enough to put that on the air as an actual storyline.
Fox would be.
No. No way they're dumb enough. No freaking way.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
They throw stuff out all the time.
Like that?
Eric's boy.
Britt
didn't get fired.
There's no way.
No, but they throw out misinformation all the time. Just
yeah, and that's fine. So do we.
But they're supposed to...
But we would never say that.
No.
In a serious manner in any way. Like,
oh.
There's no, that was a joke. Somebody was being stupid and forgot to press delete.
Even the watermelon's delicious.
Speaking of Barack Obama.
That's
a fireable offense.
No, I didn't mean it like that, Paul. Jeez.
What's Fuzzy Zeller Jr. over here?
No, did you mean
God,
it?
No.
That I'm sorry, it had nothing to do with the other thing. I mean, what else do you want?
No, that's not what I meant.
You're talking about non sequiturs.
Yes, Fred. Exactly.
Okay. Stick to that. Stick to that story.
That's a great story to stick to right there.
Let's see.
That was a poor timing, poor choice of words.
Don't shrug your shoulders at me. I didn't say it.
No.
Are you looking for some collard greens too, Fuzzy?
No. I was talking about non sequiturs, Paul.
Let's see. Keith writes
Play
in.
Play back the tape. It is what it is.
Keith writes in. Interested to hear your comments on the USA Today fan vote where the 90 Pats were voted worst NFL team in the Super Bowl era, beating out the 76 Bucks who didn't win a single game that year. Is this more proof that the world hates the Patriots, especially in recent years, or were the Patriot off-field issues more of a factor in the vote?
I blame Patriots Nation. It was 1,200 votes to 1,000 votes. If you were so angry about it, get 200 people to vote for it. It wasn't that big of a sampling or a large. It was not this worldwide 10 million people voted.
I think that's one
small
of those.
Small sampling.
You could go. You could do no wrong. Whoever you voted for in that poll, you were right.
Well, I think it is proof that people hate us, and we should embrace that. That's
I just
okay.
applaud it for
embracing
bringing,
the hate in 08.
Right.
I applaud it for bringing back one of my favorite quotes of all time from the coach.
John McKay.
When he said was asked about his execution, and he said,
I'm all for it.
The team's execution. That's one of the greatest lines.
Oh, my God. Line. Did you have these brownies?
Get off your knees. Jesus. You're blowing the Sunset Grill.
No, honestly.
You got bruises on those things?
Eat one of those brownies and then you tell me.
I'm going to in a minute.
I'm sweating now.
I am absolutely sweating. Do we not have AC in the studio anymore?
No, we don't.
We don't even have AC upstairs. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, put the door stop under here.
Then why is your hair greasy? You wash your hair ever?
You got it cut, I think.
Yeah, but he doesn't wash it. Look at the grease. It's like a month old.
No, that's the style.
It's gel my ass.
Let's see. Emery writes in. He goes, thanks, guys, for your entertaining and informative news concerning my favorite NFL team. Just wanted to share my opinion and gut feeling about the kid Wheatley. By the way, I had the same gut feeling about this kid as I did about the current and retired corners when they entered the league as rookies. Al Harris, Antoine Winfield, Asante Samuel, Eric Wright, Aeneas Williams, and Darryl Green. Please forgive me if my...
throw Dion in there, too.
If that appears arrogant, because it's not my intention, but I also would like you all to know that I am not incompetent regarding the subject matter. Although I never played,
you say so?
Although I never played nor coached at the ultimate level, I have experienced some success both as a player and now as a coach evaluating talent and teaching the skills from simple to complex. This kid Wheatley is a playmaker.
Eric?
He doesn't play cornerback not to get beat. He plays the position to make plays, and if his health stays true to him, he will progress into a Pro Bowl corner in the NFL for the Patriots in the very near future. That's Emery from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
I'm all for Wheatley.
So,
and I don't need to praise myself as much.
Emery would have had me completely sold, and I'm sure he does know some football, but if he had just included one or two cornerbacks that didn't pan out in right. that list, I would have said, all right.
Right.
But, I mean, basically he rattled off seven of the top 20 cornerbacks of the last 20 years. I mean, one bust in there might have made it a little bit more believable. What do you think? Throw Chris Canty in there, and I have you. You got me.
Okay. Well, Emery.
By the way, Freddie, these brownies, you were right. Excellent.
It's almost like fudge.
Maybe that's what it is, Fred.
Brownies are not fudge.
And Eric is an expert on fudge.
I knew you were going to go with that.
Especially when it involves packing.
He has to go all the way. He can't just say he's an expert on fudge.
It's
everybody knows.
See, I'm delirious.
Everybody knows exactly what he's talking
this
about.
This is what we don't miss on Tuesdays.
Right. You that's know? Why we're more cerebral when
that's
you're
not funny because this is what I don't miss on Tuesdays either.
No, we actually had a good show Tuesday. I set the over-under at 12:37 when we got our first email ripping us for having a terrible show, and we didn't get one. I was very
I'll
surprised
be sure
by
to
that.
Send an email in next week.
You'll do it just like this, too. Andy Hart, Ape Man.
I don't know. I'll need to borrow something to have internet at the beach.
Jason in Chiba, Japan. If you want the opinion of some miserable idiot in Chiba, the only replaceable person on PFW in progress is Andy. Seems that without him around, the maturity level of the rest of you diminishes to make up for the lack. I bet it's tiring to come up with the same lame gay and poop jokes, though, so I'm glad it's just Tuesdays. As one of the
Wait a minute. Does he like me or not like me? I'm confused.
He doesn't like you, and he thinks when you're not here, it makes us dumber because we try to replace you with your...
So that means I have to be here. With your I'm idiocy. Irreplaceable.
Right.
No, but if you're not here all the time, then we won't eventually we won't have to do that.
As one of the legion of Eric haters...
Once he figures out what the email meant, he's an idiot.
As one of the legion of Eric haters and one of the legion of Rook non-listeners...
What about the legion of doom?
Moving Eric sounds like a great idea, except that PFW would lose my favorite punching bag.
Go screw yourself.
For the
Jason.
Record, I am not emailing Checkmate just to remind Eric that some of the rest of us went to Northeastern prep schools and he's making us look bad.
He mentions that in every email.
That flabby hunk
this guy's
of whale
an idiot, Jason
and Chiba. For his news.
He says he hates me because I make stupid, immature jokes. But he wants Eric around because he's a great punchline.
Yeah.
Well, he's always the focal point of my stupid, immature jokes.
But I think one of the things he doesn't like most about Eric is that Eric loves Fox News.
Well, that, yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
What do you want
There are
now?
Two shows I watch.
Stay out of our food.
On that network, Fred.
Thanks.
Special Guy. Report with Brit Hume, Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. I don't watch any of the stupidity that they have at night with Hannity and Combs and O'Reilly and all that other crap.
You mean Chris Wallace not only tried to hand-deliver the Lakers a title, he also has a show on Fox News?
Yes, Paul.
Okay.
Surprisingly up to date on his politics, too. Get some great guests.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, the Memphis season has been over for quite some time.
Who hired Chris Wallace? Did Jerry West make that decision before he left? Is he still there?
I don't know. How about that for, you know, you're talking conspiracy theories? How about that for conspiracy theory? He left the Grizzlies, and just before he did, he signed off on this trade for Gasol to the Lakers, then went to work for the Lakers.
Oh, Jerry West?
Yeah, that's on the up and up.
I was asking because my college roommate's dad is the president of, like, non-basketball operations for them. I hope he didn't hire the basketball operations guy.
For the Grizz?
Because he'll be out.
Jason says, and that Chip Hurd guy, this is a guy we didn't
he
like.
He writes in,
I think I know him. He was a douche canoe in college, too. If this is a case of mistaken identity, let me just take this opportunity to say that the following people are douches, Chip. That is all.
That is all.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is
Look
the email
address. Look at that
douchebag.
Sweating.
I could still eat.
So eat.
Yeah. I'd like some more
watermelon,
please.
What happened to your diet, Fred?
All you got to do is untuck the shirt.
Watermelon isn't fattening.
The brownie was. The eight ribs were.
I'm not going to have another brownie. I just want some watermelon.
But it is kind of humorous to say the watermelon's not fattening. I mean, you had like a half a slab of Fred Flintstone ribs.
That's all I had right here.
Now, is that pig? I always get confused.
Pork?
Pork ribs?
Yeah, pork is pig.
How do you tell the difference between a pork rib and a beef rib?
Usually,
they make beef ribs.
Beef ribs are usually darker and bigger.
Stringier, too. Yeah. It's like the meat is not as...
Yeah. I like pork ribs, then.
You got to have pork.
Pork ribs are
much
better.
Yeah.
You probably like beef ribs, right?
Yeah.
Just to be different.
Beef ribs tend to be a little cheaper, and you get a little bit more because it's not as good.
Yeah, I'm not for that. I'd rather have it less often if money's an issue and have the good stuff.
Hey, let me ask you. We were talking in our little football stretch that we went through there about 10 minutes ago. The Vrabel quote that RJ emailed in.
Eric Scalavino.
Eric had that in his update. Eric, did you talk to Vrabel by yourself that day?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't really see that quote anywhere but with us. I'm sure that other people wrote it, but I didn't really catch it. I was just wondering. And the other thing I wanted to get you guys' opinion on was, you guys, all of you, Seymour's comments at the golf tournament where he went way above. Andy's looking at me with a puzzled look. I forgot Andy didn't work on Tuesday, therefore didn't read the Tuesday papers. Eric.
Yes.
Seymour, and you were on hand for the comments because you were a roving reporter at the golf tournament. Talked a lot about making excuses, for lack of a better way to put it,
for his performance over the last two years,
been playing without a leg and without an arm.
Yeah, those were basically the same sort of comments he made, I think, in March or early April, when he had a little appearance here at the stadium, where he was basically, you know,
those rub anybody the wrong way.
He was saying, you know, I've been playing hurt. And that's affected my performance, and I'm looking forward to this year because I finally feel healthy enough and I got something to prove.
And everybody knows how much I like Seymour. He's one of my favorites.
Wait a minute. Is he playing? Hey, Dan, we can't hear those drop-ins that you're doing. What is he doing? He's just playing with himself back there? He's like playing sound bites and for himself.
I think he's trying to look up stuff in preparation for other.
The door is open, so you hear things that he would do normally that you don't normally hear because we have no AC.
I agree, but that's the only reason why the door is closed.
That's the only reason why you heard that.
He's doing show.
No, you don't.
No, you didn't know. It's a bit.
No, it isn't. I know you like to play off your stupidity as quote a bit, but occasionally you're just dumb.
Playing the role of Pete Shepard.
Right.
The other thing that I wanted to compare and contrast it to was Ellis Hobbs, who also I thought was kind of funny in bending over backwards to say he wasn't making any excuses with all the injuries he has. He's making an excuse with all the injuries he had.
Right.
I'm not going to use those as an excuse.
Right.
Well, you're kind of off.
It's like saying, I'm not going to say I told you so.
Yeah.
If you bring it up, it's an excuse.
So I just was wondering if you guys caught all that stuff. I didn't think there was anything wrong, really, with either one of them. I'm not trying to make a controversy here, but I'm wondering if those comments, you know, caught anybody.
It didn't catch me all. It might have if I hadn't heard him say it the first time a couple of months ago. I might have thought.
So now you're used to the excuses.
No, but I mean, it was basically he was saying the same things over again.
I think Seymour's going to bounce back because I do think there is something to his injuries, and I also think he's a proud guy.
I don't think he likes the way he's been talked about.
But for his play.
The bounce back could be because he's a proud guy, or they could be different.
I agree.
You know what I mean? He could just have reached a point where he's now embarrassed by what he let himself slip to, and that doesn't necessarily mean the injuries were the reason.
Or it could have been the injuries.
Right, but we'll never know.
No, we won't.
He might just have lit a fire beneath his own butt.
I agree.
I hope he doesn't fart. I mean,
I agree. What, like speaking of Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah.
No, I don't know for sure. You're right.
Are great,
we won't know the answer to that question. There's no way to know for sure. He'll be the only one that can honestly answer that.
Quite frankly, I don't care.
But I do
if it involves him having like eight sacks and
he's going to be back to the normal Richard Seymour, I think, this year. That's just my opinion. Maybe it's because I like him, but I don't care.
Yeah, you love him.
He's a great guy. What's not to love?
I don't know. He got mad at me when I called Ray Lewis a murderer.
And he was right.
Hey, young lady. What's your name?
What's your name?
Does his phone number still work?
You have reached the Richard Seymour fan hotline.
When people started ripping him, he probably got rid of that line.
I'm not available. Give me
Hey,
Seymour, get off your ass and play.
James from England writes in. First off, I can see where...
Is this another James?
Is this another James?
Oh, okay.
First off, I can see where Fred got confused. I did the MySpace page, and James from Wales did the infinitely better PFW site, but he is Welsh and no doubt shag sheep, so I'm sure he has more time in his hands.
Near a cliff.
Wow.
I thought they were the same guy, too. I didn't know that they were different.
No, different guys. Speaking of the PFW site, has Paul seen the picture of him on the front page with the sun shining off his head?
The glare is just unavoidable.
Also, did Andy receive the link for the T-shirt launcher I sent?
No.
I'm not sure if it's the right picture, but I'm assuming it's the one that we put in the paper.
Or one of that same series.
So, yes. And Andy had a nice little caption that he put in the paper with it.
But not as funny as the Fred Kirsch caption, taking a shot at Scott Zolak for, quote, hanging on to this team as long as he can. And
for dear life.
A lot of underlying animosity.
That's not just a joke. That's you still upset for when he called out your credibility on the radio.
That's right.
Okay. As long as you'll admit it.
Don't you guys patch
Fred
things up?
I think that's great.
They did, in front of each other, but Fred is giving the old reach around for the stab in the back.
He denied it.
You know Gladiator when he kills him?
But now we're even.
It's happening.
Now we're even.
No, I bet Zolak's thinking we're not even anymore.
Yeah.
Now I got to get back at him.
Yeah, Zolak is thinking he started it all up again.
Unfortunately, he no longer has a forum.
I was with Zoe yesterday.
Yeah,
he was here doing some all access.
Oh, good.
Okay. Paul getting a little self-promotion in there through.
Sure.
Well, I was with Zoe. You know, he was here doing all access. So, you know, you people are smart. That means I was doing some all access. When is that show on in the off season?
Saturday.
Does that get a big hit?
Probably
Saturday
seven,
night.
Saturday at 7, I think.
But not every Saturday.
No,
it's just
they don't
Saturday.
Have it every single week.
Right. So no one's going to watch. Let's be honest, because it's Saturday night on a beautiful day. No one will be inside watching TV, and you and your wife will be at a wedding. So zeros. Zeros.
Yes, but my
zeros.
Parents will be babysitting. So.
Oh, so they'll watch it. So the Perillo household will still tune in.
Mom Perillo will be watching.
And the good Perillo will probably watch, right? He watches.
And Ginger won't be happy because I was instructed.
Who the hell
by
is
the
Ginger?
My mother.
Oh.
Your mother's name is Ginger?
Yeah.
I never
knew
her
that. Her real name is Virginia, but they call her Ginger.
Oh, okay. Virginia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Virginia?
You all right?
No, I just didn't
yes,
know that.
Virginia. Is she the famous one?
Of there is a Santa Claus fame?
Yeah.
You brought up Ginger. I'm just playing
along.
No,
she's actually Ginger Rogers.
Oh.
That's why they call her Ginger.
I've heard the name. Don't know who
he doesn't
is.
Know what that is.
I've heard the name. I don't know the specific person you're referencing. Ginger to me is on Gilligan's Island.
But I was instructed. Now you call my mother a bimbo?
She was the bimbo? Marianne.
Whoa.
Yeah, Ginger was the.
Well, then I'm calling your mother hot because she was hot. Are you comfortable with that?
I don't think he's comfortable
no.
with any of that.
And she didn't.
What are you saying? Your mother's not hot?
Ginger on Gilligan's Island didn't age well either. Tina Louise hit the wall hard.
Well, she's always been the same age in my mind because she's.
And didn't Marianne get arrested recently?
Did you hear that? Smoking doobies, I believe,
yeah.
right?
Boy, this has spiraled out of control and it had nothing
to
do
Thursday.
With me.
It's Thursday. It's Baranski.
Uh-oh. I forgot the.
Maybe Lori will stop by.
Hey, Lori, do you know what rib pontoons are?
No.
Not surprising.
Look at all this food here.
Oh, my God.
You got to have.
Like, oh, my God.
Who did this?
Joe from Roslindale.
He loves us. He's an ex...
NSA.
What the bleep is that supposed to mean? Get a mic so people can hear you.
So anyway, Fred, the TV people instructed me that it's the summer. It's very casual. Don't, you know, wear
no
a
one's
jacket.
Watching.
Don't wear the suit, jacket, whatever.
No one's watching.
So I just, you know, I have my regular clothes on. Of course, Zoe is there, and he's got his suit
right,
on.
Right.
So Ginger's not going to be happy. Where's your suit? Where's your jacket?
I think he'll look.
A lot of help.
That's one of those where he looks like the.
Well, and the
weirdo.
Host. The host was dressed like me too. So.
Yeah, well, because he never has socks.
Well,
like
this
his.
Is Bob Halloran. Lynchy's out in L.A.
Boy, it was
the B show. It was the B level.
Holy
all
crap!
Access.
Bob Halloran. Let me see. What angle did he take?
Call comes to a Prairie from the Worcester Telegram and gets.
Don't run that. I told you that many times. I am not a plagiarist.
Kamani writes in, I can't believe Eric is getting his pantyhose all bunched up over a girl he hasn't seen in 3 weeks.
You have pantyhose on?
We don't know that he hasn't seen her in 3 weeks. Because he's gone totally dark here on information pertaining
right.
to
yeah,
his
but I think with Lori
heterosexual
we have a chance to get some answers.
No, you don't.
Lori, what has he told you maybe off the air that you could bring on the air and share?
I believe
nothing.
No, I think she beat you in Scrabble, didn't she?
Did you let her win? Did you let her win in Scrabble?
If you let her win. That would have been nice. I think
Eric's not nice.
Eric's nice.
Don't give me that look either.
fathead.
When did you become
Eric
fathead?
Is like, I just used my B-list words. I wasn't using my
I tried to avoid the triple word score.
Xylophone.
I didn't use all seven
Zoo.
Letters once for us.
Zoo, yes, is Zoo a winner. I used that when I was... He inspired me. You know, I played Scrabble with my wife, Fred.
I was dumbfounded.
Did you? Yeah. Is that what they call it nowadays?
It's a good one.
So, Lori, what brings you down besides food? Anything? No?
We're going to actually record a Ross Report podcast right after you guys are done.
Oh, okay. Good.
So I was coming down to make sure you guys stayed and didn't leave.
Are you
going to
eat some of the food? There's a
I'm
large spread.
The grapes.
Can you believe
good.
This? The spread?
There's
no,
a
I
million
can't.
Different things and you're eating grapes.
And there's not even a buffalo wing in sight.
No. Oh, but these ribs are unbelievable. I told
the ribs are the best ever.
I told them on the way.
There's no ketchup,
He literally brought a feast
you don't
for
need ketchup.
Eight
Look at all the
ketchup
sauce
in your,
and like there is ketchup in the fridge if you want to have
you
a rib.
You put ketchup on ribs?
On top of barbecue sauce?
Is that a Rhode Island thing?
She puts ketchup on cereal.
It's a Lori thing.
I don't put on cereal. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
These brownies are good.
JW writes in. He says, a Dallas Cowboys fan from Belton, Texas, but living in Evesham, Worcestershire, United Kingdom. And I have come across a Patriots fan in Kent who goes by Meatwad on a popular war game site. We have been having some interesting chats online about Dallas and New England, and I think we both would like to hear your opinions on Dallas and New England for the new season. Well, all we do is talk about New England, so...
And when Tom is here, we talk about Dallas.
That's all we talk about is Dallas.
Unfortunately, Tom's not here today.
How's Tom doing?
Good.
Good.
Yep, Tom, hopefully we'll be back next week. But, I mean, his opinion of Dallas, and I kind of share it, is they're one little thing away from being a complete disaster this year.
They're a talented team that their undoing will be not talented.
Jerry Jones' main goal this year, I don't think it's to win a Super Bowl. It's just to keep Dallas in the front page, whatever it costs, because he's got to sell that stadium out and those luxury suites and the sponsorships.
And I think he'd probably admit that yes, he wants to win a title, but very close behind is just making sure Dallas is always in the news.
You know, and you got T.O. and Pac-Man Jones, and there's a lot of
Felix Jones playing wide receiver
elements on that team that, hey, it could all work out and they could win it all.
And you don't have the most disciplinarian head coach.
Right, either. Right. So
you got an aw shucks.
It definitely has the makings of
little late.
You know, a huge... Huge soap opera down
More
there.
Importantly, they're putting in HD TV screens that are 170 feet long and 72 feet high.
Right.
Wow.
On both sides.
Hung of
the
from
field.
The middle of the field.
Yes. Like right. They go like the length of
the
field.
The sideline.
Right.
Yeah. From the 20 to the 20
right.
or something.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're not going to be there. To
too
see
big.
It.
I'm saying too big.
What do we got to go 8 years before you go back to an NFC yeah. place? It's a long time. Even
You'll
I,
be here.
Even I might have another job by then.
Doubt it.
Let's see. Stripper says...
Fred won't be here, so you think I'll be gone?
That's true. Fred
Stripper
be
says
Montana.
We should blog from the here. Wedding and the reception.
Oh, we should. Fred, you bringing your BlackBerry
no
so we can
Apparently
blog?
No one's going to be at the wedding, so it'll only be
That's
the reception.
True. Right.
Tiger's got it back to even.
Why is nobody going to the wedding?
Do you know what Skype is?
Because Paul has babysitter issues.
That's valid.
And I've decided that it's
I'm
a good idea,
I'm going to the
reception. Why aren't you going? Oh, wait, you weren't invited.
Touche.
Wow.
Some Celtics cheerleader
oh,
was.
Oh, Gary, if you could have seen the sad look on Lori's face when she just said that.
She is really broken up inside.
Wow. I'll tell you,
I'm
I would
busy.
Scramble. I
no,
would
you're
scramble
not.
To put together,
busy.
You're not busy.
I would scramble to put together a solid B-list right now because I think she's going to cry.
Wow.
Very, very.
You're going to be sitting guys. Home crying Saturday afternoon.
You could take Eric.
Oh. Eric didn't get invited either.
That's
but
fine.
You would
I'm
make
busy.
A good beard for the night for Eric.
A good what?
Beard. It's when gay guys bring girls, so don't be gay.
Sorry.
You've never heard the term
Eric's
beard.
Just tapping the table. He's disgusted with everything.
First thing he's not, tapped I'm in a while.
Oh!
See you
now
did
that
on purpose,
good.
Fred. You did that on purpose. That don't tell me you didn't do that on purpose. I know you did.
He's all angry.
Mr. Innocent over there.
Tony from Greenwich, Connecticut. I'm of the opinion that the Pats lack... of speed on defense cost them the last two Super Bowls. Do you think, if nothing else, they have addressed this issue and will at least be a faster defense to the ball? Also, I expect big things out of Chad Jackson, who is loaded with ability.
So do
the
we.
Passing attack could be just as vaunted, but in a different way this year. Any thoughts? Well, first, do you think the reason they lost the last two Super Bowls, or, you know, in one case, the AFC Championship, was because of team speed on defense?
No.
I think they lost
I think
the
that was a big part of
I
it.
I think it does.
Two years ago, that was a big part of it. I don't
when
think
they lost
it was,
to Indy, yeah.
This year they were an offense-based team. They didn't score enough
right.
points.
Yeah. I think they lost. Look, my criticism of the defense this past year was well documented. I didn't think it was nearly as good as statistically it showed.
The number one pass-ranked defense in football.
But they didn't – I don't think they lost in the Super Bowl. I don't think they gave up that drive at the end of the game because of the lack of team speed. Let's put it that way. The other team made some plays,
right,
and they didn't.
They got open.
But even that, plays. I think, is – you were 18-0 because of your offense.
Right.
So when you lose, don't blame your defense.
I understand.
You didn't get to eight – based on your defense, you were probably like – an 11-5, 12-4 team during the regular season.
Right.
So if the offense is going to take all the credit of 18-0 and, ooh, I'm great, I'm Tom Brady, I'm Randy Moss, yeah, well, then you know what? When you score, how many points? 14.
14.
And you lose a Super Bowl,
yeah,
when you average 40 points a year, then you deserve the blame.
I agree with that.
You got the credit, you deserve the blame.
I agree with that to an extent. I think that the people who would disagree with that, and that would say the defense lacks speed or whatever, can point to the fact that despite the fact that they had a terrible offensive game, they scored enough points to win, and they put the defense on the field twice in the fourth quarter with a lead that the defense couldn't hold. They didn't score a lot of points.
But
ultimately, they fell short because they didn't score enough
points. That
defense
couldn't hold in September, October, November, or December. You just didn't suck enough to put them in that position the way you sucked on Super Bowl Sunday.
So you could argue
everyone
that the defense was the same all year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And not good enough. But
yes,
the offense covered that up all year, and the one time
it
didn't cover it up, you lost.
Didn't.
But I think that's an awfully hard thing to say about an offense that covered it up 18 weeks in a row and just couldn't do it for 19 straight weeks.
I don't know. That was your team. That's your team.
Well, and it was the biggest
You won game. With it 18 times. It's hard for them to not show up on the day you need it most.
I think it's hard to say the one time that you didn't score 27 or more points, you couldn't win. I think that's a hard thing to say.
I don't.
You're being harsh.
I'm just laying the facts out
I mean, if they win 11-5 and that's the same thing happened. They scored all these points, but they lost some of the game. And then the one time, maybe it's a little bit different.
But you see,
the offense covered up so many weaknesses all year, and the one time it couldn't cover up the weaknesses, we're blaming it on the offense.
And Paul got into a big thing on EEI, and this was his stance, and he's remained consistent. And I kind of side with Paul because this is one of the things where it's the sniff test. You know, even though the defense didn't have to play that well over the course of the season, we don't know if they played that well because the offense covered up. But, you know, even toward the end, when teams spread them out, they had trouble.
I don't think there's an argument.
They had a weak.
No, I think Andy agrees.
But I don't think it's me, you. I think anyone who's objective feels that way. Yeah. I honestly don't believe there's even an argument.
It's hard to back that up with tangible facts because of the statistically, lopsided.
Right. And statistically, the defense was excellent.
Right,
I think they were fourth in the league in
all
yards,
the numbers
and
back up the wrong side of the argument.
Yeah.
Right.
I go with the Peter Gammons line. Watch the game.
Just watch.
Exactly.
Watch and tell me
exactly.
what you think.
Exactly.
You know, watch the other team get three first downs before they stop them by a half a yard and force a punt from the 40-yard line. That seemed to me what happened all year. They
by
were
the way,
holding
they were,
on all year defensively.
When they were good, they were doing what they did on the last play of the Super Bowl when they lose, too.
Right. And
getting a big play with Rodney Harrison blitzing or doing something out of the ordinary and getting like pretty lucky or fortunate.
And to add to that argument, the defense was doing what you just said when they were making other teams one-dimensional, when they knew what those teams had to do.
And I think
they were still having a little bit of trouble. That's not to say – you know, look, I think defenses league-wide were down last year. I don't think that there were a lot of great defenses in the league, but you have to call it for what it is. Even though the Patriots were statistically one of the top 10, top five defenses.
Top five. I think they were fourth.
Yeah, top number four. I think defenses on a whole were down, and I think it's because the league is so pass-happy and because it's hard to have depth in the back seven to stop that when teams spread you out.
Our defense is down or our offense is up?
Well, it's chicken or the egg, whatever you
but I mean,
put it.
I'd like to think that a lot of the defenses that failed against the Patriots were pretty good defenses, but Tom Brady, Randy Moss
offense.
Were virtually unstoppable for phases
of
games.
Some of them I would say that's accurate.
When Peyton Manning is on, I think you could put virtually any defense against
Jacksonville's
an
example. I think Jacksonville is a pretty good defense. I don't think they have this steel curtain
70-60,
but that's a pretty good defense in today's day and age. And Brady went 24 for 20 or whatever. Two incompletions
the whole game. Well, I don't think the Patriots...
That's just great offense.
When you spread a team out four or five receivers, there's not enough depth on teams to go around with a good quarterback looking over the field. It's just, it's hard, you know?
Word.
And I think that a lot of the numbers that the Patriots defense did compile were as a result of what you're talking about, Fred, where the offense just beating the other team into submission, and then suddenly, you know, you can't just spread them out and do all these things because now you're down 21 points. You need to score quick. The other team is what knows that you're one-dimensional now. You can't just methodically pick your way down the field. You got to try to score in a hurry. That's when sacks happen.
Right.
That's when turnovers happen. And that's when your numbers on defense look a lot better than they are. And that's how I feel. And no one will ever convince me that I'm wrong on that one. I'm going to stay as stubborn as ever.
I mean, the Big Show will try.
They did.
Well,
they
look,
kicked the crap out of me.
There's no doubt in 07, the Patriots' best defense was their offense. There's no doubt about it. Let's see. Who's this?
And the other thing I'd like, I don't even know if it'll be that much different, and I think the offense can be almost as good. I don't expect it to be record-breaking.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to get to that, too.
You lost Dante Stallworth, who I think, even if he's not that good, what's everybody looking at?
There was a noise out in the hallway.
Even if he's not that, I think Chad Jackson could, even if he's not great, fill that complimentary role that Stallworth filled. He was not a key cog.
Right, no. But do you think
he made some points.
But I don't think that Chad Jackson is capable of making the offense just as dynamic, only in a different way, which is, I think, the way the emailer put it.
But I don't think he needs to.
I think
Stallworth had really much effect on this being, quote, a dynamic offense.
No, right. I don't think so. But the one thing he did do, he didn't do it often. He only had 46 catches, I think. He made big plays.
Right.
They were all almost all of his catches were big catches.
But if
I'm not sure Chad Jackson is on the team at all and playing,
he can do that.
And don't forget, 2008 will be the year, the breakout year for Ben Watson.
Sure.
And embrace the hate in 08.
Right.
I thought that was 2 years ago when he was
a Pro Bowl tight end.
That's
the joke. Every year
it's a bit.
Although in his defense, the few times he has made some catches in the league, Chad Jackson, they have been pretty big catches.
Yeah, that Jets game, he had a nice little game for himself.
Yeah. I mean, he had 3 touchdowns in 13 catches career.
Yeah.
Look, if you can tell me
it's more productive than Ben
mentally,
Watson, his breakout guy.
If you can tell me that mentally he's matured this year, I'm ready to say he's going to be your number two all year. It's because it's all upstairs with this guy, I think.
I think that it's I like what I see in terms of the maturity. The stuff that we had heard about as a rookie seems to have disappeared a little bit. I don't want to say totally, because we'll see what happens when he faces some adversity. Mm. The other stuff, though, and Eric alluded to this in his updates, is where he's supposed to be. We talked about that on Tuesday. Brady's not going to throw the ball to guys that he doesn't know where they are. And it looked like that's still a little bit of an issue during minicamp. A lot of talking with Bill O'Brien, the receivers coach. We'll see if that's just
the
instruction
question
at this point, or if he's still a little unsure where he's supposed to be doing.
But I don't care if he's unsure. If it's unsure between this spot and that spot, a foot and a half to the right, if he's unsure in terms of major stuff,
like blitz,
like
pickup,
the backbone of the play,
then
he's in trouble. But if he should be doing that stuff now, he can. That's what minicamp is for in the offseason. That's why everyone talked about injuries in the past and not being able to do that stuff. I have no problem fine-tuning his route running in the offseason. But if it's like he thinks he's running a go route instead of a slant, we're in trouble and your career is just about over.
And we didn't see any of that, like you know, him cutting out and the pass going in.
Right.
We didn't see any of that, so there's no reason
for
us to believe at that point.
The time he got chewed out was when he was in the way on a kick return.
Freddie, here comes Tiger.
Get the bleep out of the way, Chad.
Minus one.
Here comes Tiger.
Oh, great. Here comes Tiger.
I love Tiger.
He's been programmed since he was 1 year old to be this guy.
Why don't
you like Tiger?
Because he's the poster child for the modern individual athlete who's been programmed since day.
He plays an individual sport. What,
did he have to play it every single day since birth?
That's what he loves to do.
As his father programmed him to do?
He's
made millions on it.
Oh, now it's all about the money. I thought it was about a little kid just having a good
life
for himself.
He loved it.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Why are you fighting about golf?
Because of the way
he did.
Because if he didn't like it, he would have stopped doing it.
How do you know?
When you become
How do you know?
Because you golf?
First of all, his father's gone. His father died. If he didn't want to do it, he was only doing it to please his father.
No, now he's Tiger Woods, and he's making $100 million a year. It's hard to walk away from $100 million.
I disagree. I think this would be the perfect time to walk away from something you didn't like.
Well, then if he walked away from it, then he's a greater man than I would ever give him credit for, because I don't think there's too many people on the planet that could say, you know what, $110 million is great.
Listen,
I don't really love
you
it.
You can't
going
be
to...
as good as he is without loving it, because it took
–
I mean, it's not like he –
I agree with that, too.
I don't know about that.
Oh, the work that he had to put on his own.
He's made money.
Then he didn't like it so much that in the middle of his career, when he was already the best perhaps that ever played, he completely – reconstructed his whole game and redid his whole
That's
swing.
To prove how great he is. I think that's the ego kicking in.
You're unbelievable. Yeah, you really are.
He just wanted to prove he was that much better than everyone. You've been playing your whole life to perfect something.
That'd be like
I get it once and I'm going to
like
try
me
again.
Saying
it's
that,
like when Eric went to color paintings. He had mastered the black and white, and public demand was for the color, so he went to color.
That'd be like me making fun of you with Bo Jackson saying, He broke his hip and he came back and played baseball just to prove that
he was that good.
Well,
I was going to say...
Just, you know, just because his ego wouldn't let him just retire with a
broken heart. I was just going
to
say...
There was probably something to that.
Yeah, I was going to say Andy would like Tiger if he had hurt himself early in his career and never lived up to his ability. Then Andy would have liked him, like Bo Jackson.
I'd like him if he did what he wanted to do.
How do you know
How do you know he doesn't want to do it?
Because
no kid
that's two wants to golf year-round.
Why not? Why play soccer year-round?
I mean, Andy, I understand
that. And that's stupid, too. That's my problem, is all these sports are now, you know, the Fred Kirschers of the world are making their kids play lacrosse year-round.
I don't make my kid do anything.
It's for the love.
What are you yelling behind the glass? Get a microphone if you want to speak.
Leave little Gary alone.
It's mini Gary. Little Gary.
It's little Liner.
That's disrespectful. Little Gary what he was before he ate a lot.
It's little Liner.
Why should I try calling him Dan?
All right, Chris from the Bronx says, pick one to keep from each pair.
A pair of what?
I'm going to give you the pairs.
that was like something Lori would say and we'd laugh, but it was Fred saying.
So you pick one out of the two. Hobson or Mayo?
Mayo.
Mayo.
Rudd or Guyton?
Oh, Guyton. Rudd.
Red.
It's red. Red.
Red.
Then red.
There's a rude and
a red. Not Bo Rude.
Okay. Red.
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 Vince Red.
Yes.
Red.
Yeah.
O'Connell or Gutierrez?
O'Connell.
O'Connell.
Okay. Kazier or O'Callaghan on Oxy?
Kazier.
Cheerleaders, old outfits or the new outfits?
Kind of like the new ones. Doesn't matter.
I like white. I like the new ones.
Chris Ferreira, big time down on the new ones.
Why
does it?
He thinks we're copying the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, for crying out.
Is that accurate, Laura? You've probably studied
if
the cheerleaders.
If we get the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders in them, then I'd be up on the
line. No, they have big puppy sleeves.
I wish they had big something else.
Oh, my gosh.
Rodney's forward
rib pontoons, baby.
Rodney's forward to Tyree's book or Brady's forward to Brewski's book?
Rodney's forward to Tyree's book.
Rodney didn't really write the thing he said either.
He did, though.
He answered questions.
There's a lot of things we put together. I've run features in the paper that were,
You Rodney, use my stories all the time for certain other
Ixnay
things.
Ixnay on the Ori Stay.
I'm going to bet you that Rodney wrote more of the forward for Tyree's book than Brady did.
Right. Who wrote that? Don Yee? Stacey James? Somebody.
Yeah.
Will McDonough?
That would be my guess.
Scott Player's goofy mustache or Dragosevich's goofy limbs?
Player's goofy mustache by a mile.
That's a must-see.
Well, you won't be seeing it anymore.
Won't be seeing it around here no more.
Kobe Bryant's alleged girlfriend or Kobe Bryant's actual wife?
The alleged girlfriend. I don't know what either one of them.
I don't like his wife, so. The alleged girlfriend. She's a Laker cheerleader, right?
Well, she was. They got rid of her.
She's hot?
Yeah.
Guys, you got to go with the wife.
Why would I go with the wife?
Morals, people, morals.
The wife is with him for money. She was bought. She's bought and paid for. She has no desire to be with Kobe Bryant other than the money.
Plus, he's asking who you think is better.
She virtually admitted it. He bought her a ring because he had sex with some girl.
It's only a $4 million ring. It wasn't like...
Right. It's like Tiger Woods. You can't walk away now. You're making too much money.
I'm sorry I asked.
Kobe Bryant's wife, Tiger Woods, same. They're in bed with a conspiracy.
My point is, Tiger Woods makes enough money off his name that he would never have to worry about his golf earnings if he didn't love golf. He has a whole foundation for charity.
Nike endorsement.
Yeah, Nike would ditch him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These brownies are phenomenal.
We're not talking about...
That's what Fred said. He's been raving for an hour.
We're not talking about, you know, Tom Brady, who's going to make like $70 million in his career. We're talking about billions.
Oh, yeah.
Billions of dollars.
Just exactly how his dad planned it out.
He doesn't need to play golf to make that.
I think he might be president someday.
Who?
And I agree with you. At age two, I agree with you. No one knows what they want to do, but... He's clearly had enough time to decide that he didn't really like what he was doing
at
some point.
But he's too much into it.
You're too much into immature, stupid jokes, and you tell them all
the time. I couldn't stop that. I couldn't. Plus, I love it.
And he can't stop playing golf.
That's the whole point. You love it.
So I mean, she would ditch him. Eileen, what is it? Ellen? Eileen?
Elin.
No, she wouldn't.
Oh, God. No, faster than you could say ha-choo.
Ha-choo?
Ha-choo.
What is ha-choo?
Isn't that when someone sneezes, you say ha-choo?
At-choo.
I don't know why that's so funny, though.
I don't know either. It just came to me. I didn't say it was supposed to be funny. It was something that happens quick when you sneeze.
One second thing. One more from Chris. At Gary's wedding, dancing to Aerosmith or dancing to Jay Giles?
Both.
Or as in Paul's case, dancing to Neil Diamond.
I think you have a better chance of Neil Diamond than either one of those other two.
Well, they'll be there. They're from the playlist of Gillette Stadium. Yeah, that's all he plays.
I don't think that you'll see them at a wedding, though.
I didn't know Gary knew anything else.
Is their wedding song going to be Crazy Train?
Is Tom going?
That's how I got introduced.
No. Really?
My reception. The wedding party was introduced. Yeah. Crazy Train.
Really?
That's nice.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. You were watching playoff games off on the side somewhere.
I forgot.
pretending you're sick.
Deidre Hart didn't.
I had pneumonia.
You had pneumonia, so you had to watch Jets Colts. No, I was.
Look at the smirk on his face because he knows that's why he doesn't know.
I was watching TV, but I was really sick. I was out for a whole week.
It was 5 years
that.
Ago. Really? You did that?
I watched. I had a little TV with me.
I believe the one you take on road trips.
So did you?
Right?
Yeah, it wasn't like the Patriots were playing. There was the Colts and the Jets.
Did you
in a game that was like 41-0, by the way.
Did you skip the ceremony too?
No, I was there.
Oh,
remember the priest?
Put those two together would be
the most
classless day ever.
Let me tell you something. If you had, you couldn't have anything worse than that priest. So
right,
that's memorable.
That was a ceremony. I think most people, given hindsight, would have actually attended because the guy was entertaining as all hell.
I think at one,
if not appropriate.
But
at one point, I think I just wanted to end it all and kill myself.
No, at one point, somebody yelled out, "For the love of God!"
That was Paul.
Joel from Merrimack, listening to Tuesday's show and listening to Tuesday's show and mention of an Andy Hart bobblehead doll almost made me pass a Skittle. I immediately discussed the possibility of this with several of my engineer friends who are familiar with the expanse of Hart's melon. Two of them came to the conclusion that it was mathematically impossible. One of them
That's
shook his head
true.
Repeatedly and mumbled something about getting Andy's head in a wind tunnel for drag coefficient testing. One of the older guys was enthusiastic about modeling an Andy Hart doll based on a popular child's toy from the 70s called Weebles.
Weebles wobble, but
they don't fall
down. Evidently, no matter how large their heads were, they wouldn't fall down. Kind of like one of those plastic blow-up punching dolls with the weighted bottoms. Anyway,
I got
nothing football-related, so I'll just wish Tom a speedy recovery and hope to hear him back on the show soon.
Who's that?
Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire.
You know, Maura said if you make the bobbleheads that your head won't have to be scaled at all.
Uh-huh.
That's what we said. On Tuesday, Fred and I actually speculated that you couldn't make a bobblehead for you.
I prove every day that these physics work.
It would just break because the little spring that the bobblehead's on would be too much tension.
You'll grow into your head one day. Don't worry.
Shut up. You won't. Your breast won't grow into you one day.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
I was like you. I didn't really have a comeback, and I didn't want to just say, your mom.
Can we keep my breasts out of it?
Sure.
You got that, Dan?
Mark tape there, Dan.
God.
Alex from Newark, New Jersey.
Do you know what rib pontoons are?
Andre Tippett.
What?
Just so you know, Dan, that's my favorite of all time. Rib pontoons.
Where did you put that thing?
Because it's normal. It's not some freakish sex act that no one in the world. It's a nice, easy rib pontoons.
Where's
it
the
means large out? Breasts.
Oh.
You know,
large
pontoons talons. Are those things that hold boats up, so they'd be rib.
Nobody can see you.
That's why people want this show webcast.
Good Lord.
He really is.
All right, Alex.
Freddy.
Beyond words.
Ask Connor if most of the girls he goes to school with have large breasts.
Oh, for God's sakes, Andy.
Why? You want to re-enroll in seventh grade?
No, there's a theory circulating.
It's in the water.
No, the theory I've heard was it's in the chickens. That they inject chickens with steroids to make their breasts fuller and bigger so that, obviously you sell them for more poundage, whatever.
Right.
And that is
trickling
all down
this chicken.
Into the female young people, and their breasts are growing bigger and faster.
What do you think?
I'll tell you. I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there. Based on that small sampling, I did 100% accurate.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh, my God.
Wait a
the
minute.
The girls under 18.
Wait a minute. I'm the one who crossed the line? Are you kidding me?
I bet that's like a common one. I've never heard that in my life.
Freddy?
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That might have been your best one ever, Fred.
That was good.
That would have been your best one ever.
Save that one, Renee.
It's hot as hell in here.
It's getting hotter.
Yes.
Alex from Newark, New Jersey.
Because we're all worried about losing our jobs. We're sweating a little.
I read a story yesterday about the refs being paid to fix games coming from NBA executives. Well, my question is, do you think the Patriots were going to have a perfect season and on their way to another Super Bowl win, but after Spector came in and asked for an investigation, do you think that the NFL decided to have the Giants win because so many people were against the Patriots and the Spygate scandal?
Yep.
I don't know about you, but the last 2 to 3 minutes have my eyebrows raised. No face mask call, no pulling on the jersey, etc.
Yes, I do think that happened.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's a conspiracy. And we need to enter this season believing that, embracing the hate, and winning.
In 08.
Yep.
Embrace the hate and win 08.
I just think we need Brady to show up.
We're going
to
end the show a little early today because I have a meeting at 2 o'clock that I have to get to and then one at 2:30, so I'm a little backed up.
He's a busy guy.
Well, Andy's a little backed up, too, but that won't take long.
Won't last long. Once we get upstairs, I'll take care of that.
Ribs right. galore.
Again, we want to thank Joe from Roslindale and the Sunset Bar and Grill.
Best lunch ever.
The corner of Harvard Street and Brighton Ave.
Ribs to kill for.
If you're ever in Boston or if you're listening and you're from Boston, you got to go to the Sunset Bar and Grill.
Right
and
after Patrick
Connor.
Tell them PFW in Progress sent you.
Yes.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Not me.
To let me know, should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time.